morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Get my mic fixed. Ozzy's got a review. Def Rat Guy's going to be in here. We got the mayor from Calabasas, the guy banned smoking, even in hell. And David Koechner, he's the guy champ from Anchorman. He's got a new movie, Thank You for Smoking. And also Larry Cable Guy moving. I talked to him. Very funny man. 866.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me. Start a fire in someone's kitchen.
That's it.
Maybe
champ.
Go to SeaWorld. Take my pants off.
Yeah, he was great in that movie. All right. Where to begin? Well, first off, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. If you have your home improvement questions, any home improvement questions, give us a call. I'll be glad to answer them. The other thing is we want to play a little game called Name That Tool. I did it many years ago. You call up, you fire up a tool, and I'll tell you what tool you're firing up. That's how good I am. I'm like an Indian. Wow. Remember the Indians? They could tell when a train was coming?
Sure.
Were they ever wrong? Was it turned out it was just a buffalo farted? Never train that actually came.
Will you put your ear to the ground, they call it, or how does it work?
I will compromise between listening for the train and working hard. I will put my ear to the ground stone.
Ah.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. I will put my nose to that grindstone, and I will hear the tool that you fire up, and I will tell you, is it a cordless drill? Is it a circular saw? Is it a hypoid saw? I know the difference between the straight circular Stanley saw and the hypoid 7 1/4 inch Milwaukee's. I'll tell you.
And I saw the movie Saw.
That's right.
So we're complete as a pair.
Angie is sitting in for Rachel Perry one more day. I guess she has another day working on her pilot, and then she'll be back tomorrow. Angie Fitzsimmons, good to see you this morning.
You too.
So, home improvement questions or fire up that tool. Brusco, what are we giving away if they stump me? That's the big question.
$100 gift certificate to Hooters.
Oh, really? All right. And guys who have tools should definitely be interested in going to Hooters. I had to yell at Big Tad because I realized something. You know, I'm not the world's hardest worker, as we figured out from watching me on this show. On the other hand, I'm the boss, so I don't have to look like I'm working as hard. But number two, when I used to work, I would always look like I was working. I mean, that's the way it went. We've talked about this in the past. You sit around, you shoot the crap, you cruise the internet, and then the boss walks into the room and you sit up and you immediately change to the financial page or whatever and you start working on something. You throw down the newspaper, put down the porn. Nobody works the entire time they're at work.
No.
You're at work. I would reckon people work 40 to 60% of the time they're at work. The other half is lost in thought, monkeying around on the internet, sitting on the pot, reading the sports page. There's a myriad of things you do other than work at work. But here's the deal, and here's what I'm going to share with my young twins. You have to look like you're working when people that are above you are looking at you.
That's right. You're not advocating actual hard work.
No! That's hell busy, no! Yeah. No! Dear Lord, no!
Shame the devil.
No!
Right.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a slap in the face. You know what it's like? You can jaywalk all you want. No crime, no problem. But when a cop is standing on the other side of the street, don't look him in the eye and volitionally walk straight across the street where there's no. He's going to write you a ticket. He's going to walk over and say something to you. Wait till the cop looks away. Wait till he goes to the next corner and then scurry across the street. That's how life works. Mm-hmm. If you look the cop in the eye and slowly walk across the middle of the street where there's no intersection, you're going to anger the cop.
You're asking for it.
Yes, and that's what I'm just telling everybody as it pertains to their boss. And maybe this is just Pops Corolla talking here, but that's how it went. For the last 2 million years, that's how it went. There was an unspoken thing at the workplace where you just looked busy. I've not ran into too many of those people lately.
What did Tad do this morning?
Big Tad just plants himself in the kitchen and he peruses the USA Today. And, you know, the show's starting in 40 seconds. And I just say, what are you working on, Tad? Looking at the newspaper. Are you looking something up? No? Well, what are you doing? Just looking through the sports page. For something? No. Something that has to do with the show? No. Well, aren't you supposed to be working? I guess. Well, why don't you do some? Huh, okay. People have no idea. Half of your career is work, and the other half is the illusion of work. Mm. People want to see a little sweat coming off the brow. People want to see some elbows and a-holes.
Your math is off. It's not half and half. Listen, it's
70 and 30, yeah.
Yeah, 75%, yeah, is creating the illusion. When right. The boss man comes along, chop, chop, look busy, when he says, how you doing? You know, how you doing, Tad? The correct response is, busy, but what else is new?
Right.
You know, then
and then the fake laugh.
Then the boss man goes around. He's like, let me tell you something. That Tad, every time I see him, he's working hard. That guy
always
is exhausted.
Right.
Yes. We have, we've figured out many times that the people don't get anywhere in life, and a lot of you are listening to this show, burn more calories announcing that than you do actually doing anything. You complain, oh, this guy, he's the boss's son, or this guy's just a big suck-up, he's a browner. No, no. You guys spend extra time every day letting the world know you're horrible at your job and you don't work hard and they can F off. It's a very sort of passive-aggressive screw you. Mm-hmm. You're not boss of me.
Listen, here's the thing. Allen Iverson, Terrell Owens, they can be big pain in the asses because they're talented.
Right.
But there are very few people that are legitimately talented. May I say, in an ass-kissy way, Ace, so you can get away with lax behavior because there's talent.
Thank you. I was going to fire you, but now you have one more day. One more day to impress me, son.
Oh, God. I don't get to work.
So Tad's hard work. Here's all I'm saying. Again, I don't mind the part where you don't work. I don't even mind the part where I say, what are you doing? And you say, reading the news. Newspaper. Here's where I fault you, and here's why I don't trust you. You have to say scanning the newspaper for a story. You never know what you're going to find. That's all. It's all just
That's
in the
all.
Answer.
That's it.
It's right. Easy to do.
So
yeah.
Easy.
You're not napping. You're resting your brain because there's a big task at hand.
Right.
Put the euphemistic spin on whatever it is you're doing. But for Christ's sake, don't just say, yeah, I'm just hanging out.
Just lie.
Yeah, and the person gives you chances. Well, are you working on something? No. Are you trying to find? No. Mm-hmm. Just say yes. That's all.
Did he bring you your water in V8 this morning, though?
Yes. So we're on top of that. All right. Someone has a tool to stump me.
Now his glass is half full with V8.
Thanks to Angie. Now we got to keep going. Patrick?
Yeah.
You have something to say about the kids of today?
Well, yeah, I just want to touch base on what you were saying there, you know. The work ethic has gone out the window.
You know why I think it's gone out the window, I realize? Because when we grew up, I grew up scared of every adult. I grew up scared assless of my friends' dads, especially. Oh, Mr. Vendick. Oh, look out. He's in a bad mood. Steer clear, Mr. Vendick. Now we grow up in this society where everybody I know that's got a kid just looks at me and goes, hey, listen, F off. And if you touch me, I'll sue you into the Stone Age. There's not an 11-year-old that's not snot-nosed and doesn't think, you know, if a teacher grabs him by the arm, they'll rip their arm out and go, I'll sue your ass, and all kinds of, well, where does that lead when that guy's 25 and in the workplace now and the boss man comes by? Screw off, old man. Hey,
yeah.
Larry Tate, why don't you go crap in your diaper? I'll be reading the sports page. Any thoughts, Patrick?
Well, I've climbed up the corporate ladder by doing exactly what you're talking about, looking busy all the time.
That's right.
I couldn't even tell you what my job description is.
Yes.
What do I do? I don't know, but if someone asks me, I give them a right answer.
That's right. That's right. And somehow that has been converted into ass-kissing, and these guys are somehow noble who won't do it and won't engage in it anymore.
Sometimes you've got to pucker up.
That's right. Thank you, Patrick. Now, back to the all-important topic of home improvement. Someone has a question. Frank?
Hey, Adam.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, I got a little electrical question for you.
Mm-mm. Not my field of expertise, but go ahead.
Okay. I got a 220 outlet that's for my dryer, of course, and I was wondering if I could splice off that, you know, to, like, hook up a welder or something in the garage.
Yeah. What do you mean splice off it? You just got to get a 220 adapter, a three-prong plug, 220 plug, plug it in.
But I like to keep the dryer plugged in also.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
that's interesting. You mean You mean, do they make like a pig's tail or something for those 220s?
Yeah, do I need to run a whole new home run from the...
Well, here's the thing. You got a welder. What do you got, like a TIG welder, MIG exactly. welder? Here, you have a TIG welder?
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing. Man, am I smart. Here's the whole thing. And clairvoyant. The thing is as long as the dryer's not running, you can use that 220.
There you go.
All right, buddy. I think he was just quizzing me.
Perhaps.
Okay. Perhaps. That's good radio. John?
Well, I don't know. I'm not expert on this. I can't tell.
Evidently. John?
Yeah.
You have a tool you want to stump me with?
Yeah, Evan, let's see if you're good at this.
All right, now hold on.
Another quiz, see?
Let me pot up my cans, as we say in the radio business.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I know as much about radio as Damashek knows about home improvement.
Pot up my can.
Perhaps. All right, you the queen was not amused, evidently. Perhaps. John, why don't you take that tool and hold it up to the phone and fire it up?
This is an electric tool, by the way.
Oh, now don't give anything away.
That's a clue.
All right,
here it goes. Get that?
Yeah, it's a belt sander.
Son, Adam, I'm really sorry. It's not.
Yes,
not
it is.
Close.
Yes, it is.
Adam, come on over. Let me show you. That's the only way I can prove it, right?
What is it?
It's a Sears Craftsman Auto Scroller Saw 130.
Ah, it is. It is. It
Fire
is.
It up, it now. Is. I want to hear it one more time.
It is. It's a jigsaw. It's a jigsaw.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Disappointed in you.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
No, you know what? You're right. That's a jigsaw. It's got a belt sander sound to it, I should say.
Yeah, it's pretty close, I guess.
No
cigar.
Do you have a belt sander anywhere?
You know what? I don't have that tool.
Wow. Doesn't even have it in his arsenal. So sad. Yeah. That's a jigsaw. Damn it. Damn it. All right.
Let's go to Hooters after this.
Okay. All right. Hang on, buddy.
All right.
That's how Name That Tool works. You're going to Hooters. Uh-oh. More problems. Lauren?
Yeah.
You have a problem with some of my advice?
Well, I just heard you tell the guy that wanted to wire a welder in where his dryer's at.
Yeah.
And he can do that. No problem. He can run them both at the same time. He just needs to figure out how much load that welder's going to be pulling.
Yeah.
And then he just needs to put a bigger breaker in, and he can run them both at the same time all day long.
All right. Well, my advice was he's probably not going to do that, so I told him, you know, how much welding do you do a day and how much clothes drying do you do a day for the half hour a day that the dryer's not running or the 2 hours a day the dryer's not running? That's your welding time. That's how my wife does it. When she's not drying clothes, she's welding. She uses a Heli Arc, though, because she does a lot of aluminum fabrication. But it's the same thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All right. But thanks, Lauren. You're saying you could get a bigger breaker in there and work it out.
Yeah, you got to run them both at the same time.
I agree.
Hey,
all right,
brilliant. Brilliant, by the way, Adam.
Thank
you're
you.
You're awesome. Huge fan.
Thanks, Lauren.
All right, buddy.
It's my sister's name, so it's kind of creepy.
Oh, great. Hello.
Yeah, but she's Lauren.
I'm Lauren.
Right. And at a certain point, she tried to pull the... Somewhere at age 28, decided to announce to the family that it's going to be Lauryn.
No.
Yes.
At 28?
I don't care for that.
Yeah, this is how the fights start, by the way. Mm. I'm sorry.
Lost my virginity. Lost my virginity to a Lauren.
Wow. I'll have to talk to my sister. What the deal was.
Small world.
These are how the fights start in the family, you know? Hey, Adam, FYI, it's going to be Lauryn. Well, not for me, it's not. Well, that's how I spell it now. Well, that's how you spell it. Okay, why do you have to ruin Thanksgiving? I'm not ruining it. I just refuse to use the Y. Well, it's important to me. Well, listen, go sell Grandma and Mom. I'll not... your seed will find no purchase here. I'm going with E.
Well, fortunately for her, you really don't read or write, so what difference does it make?
I know. I think when I say her name, she wants me to picture a Y instead of an E. I get that once in a while with somebody who tries to change it. It's been Chris for 30 years, and he switched it to Christopher. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, nah, sorry.
Yeah, nah.
That ship has sailed. That's whatever's going on. The statute of limitations has run out. The copyright. Whatever happened, it's over. The window's shut. and it's painted clothes.
But if you move, though, here's something I did. When I lived in Chicago, I knew this guy. He's a young fella. He's 22, 23 years of age. His name was John. He decided he was moving to D.C. for a job. Mm-hmm. I said, here's what you do when you go there. He was a you know, a nice guy, you know, sort of a soft kind of a guy. You know, I said, listen, when you get to D.C., reinvent yourself. Go with what John allows you to do. Jack.
Yes.
Change it to Jack.
Yes.
Now, you know, we had lengthy conversations about it. Started as a laugh, but then I said, listen, no jive. Do this for real.
Smart.
Do this for you.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out to D.C. I get an email about 6 months later. He emails me from his business. His name on the email is now Jack something or other.
Wow.
And he says, listen, I just wanted to thank you. This has gone over like gangbusters.
Wow.
It's changed my life.
It's no longer John Meoff. Smart. It's good advice.
He's getting a lot of attention.
Sage advice, yeah. All right, we will take ourselves a break. We're having our limerick wars. Oh, yes, we started these on Friday, and we're going to continue them into, God knows how long. Also, if you have another tool, that really was a scroll saw or a bayonet saw or a jigsaw. I screwed that up. It did sound like a belt sander, though.
I'll give away another Hooters gift certificate for
$100. All right, someone has another tool. I got to redeem myself after this.
With a mono brow, standing 6'2", maybe taller. He's a master carpenter, giving advice to the callers. Bob Vila can't carry his jock, 'cause the ace man walks the talk. He's literally a millionaire who never lost his blue collar. Home improvement man, home improvement man. Just call Adam right now if you need some help fixing up your house.
Wow, I like that one. Is that Rich from Arizona? Nice job, Rich. 866, a little sound effect in the background, 866-901. Adam, 866-901-ADAM, if you need any home improvement advice. Also, another round of Name That Tool. You take a tool, you fire it up, I guess. I get it right, you get nothing. I get it wrong, you get yourself a Hooters gift certificate. But we need your integrity on this one. If I get it right, you got to tell me. And if I get it wrong, well, then you can tell me, and you get $100 to Hooters. All right, also, we're going to continue on with our limericks game. Now, this is something we did last Friday, I think, for St. Patrick's Day. People seemed to enjoy the limericks. They got insulting. Feelings were hurt, but it was worth it. We had a fun time on the show with it. We decided to keep it going. Why just do it once a year? We decided also to turn it into a little bit of a competition. So at some point in the next few minutes or so, I'm going to pull a name out of this sack that has everyone's name in here. Brian's name, phone screener Brian, Damashek, my name. Everyone on the staff and everyone who works here's name is in this bag. I'm going to pull a name out of that bag, and everyone is going to have the commercial break to do their own limerick. Once we stop our own limerick on that name, once we come out of commercial, everyone has to put their pens down, and then we'll hear them, and I'll be the judge of who comes out number one. All right, and you guys can try it as well, but I would suggest you wait until you hear the name. Let's see. Barry?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. You have a question?
Yeah, I installed a set of Anderson French doors in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a...
I, by the way, call them Freedom Doors.
Freedom? Why is that?
Well, we changed the French fry to the Freedom Fry some years back because we don't like the frogs. But you know what? We forgot the door. So you pass through the French doors on the way to get the Freedom Fries? I don't buy it. Not this patriot. No.
No.
I call them Freedom Doors. That's right. So you
I
want
to
install
to
some Anderson Freedom Doors, yes?
Yes.
And the question is?
I have about a 2-inch gap around the doors, and I have to repair the stucco.
So you busted out an existing set of doors and you put in a new set of Freedom Doors.
Yes, I took out a set of sliders.
Yeah.
I put in the pair of
Freedom Doors. Yeah, the cheap aluminum sliders.
Absolutely.
And you put in the nice wood Freedom Doors.
Exactly.
Do they swing out?
Swing out.
Do you have the NRP hinges? That's non-removable pins.
Absolutely.
You don't want the burglar, you don't want the bad men to come in, pop the pins out of the hinge knuckles and just pull the doors out.
That
you know
would
what
be
I'm
a
saying?
Thing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, so they have ones called NRPs, where the pin cannot be removed from the outside. You see the hinge on the outside. I don't have to tell you, Damashek. So he just got done writing down NRP and slid it across the console.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. So, you want to put that in, and you got stucco. Now, what do you have, stucco molding? You have that redwood stucco molding on the jam?
No, the Anderson Freedom Doors have their own, almost like a brick molding attached.
Yeah, well, that's stucco molding.
Yeah, same thing. Sure.
Yeah, it's redwood. It's finger jointed.
No, it's actually a vinyl clad system, but it's the same principle.
All right, so it's already in there. So you have to stucco up to the existing stucco molding that's on the jam that comes on the Freedom Doors.
Absolutely.
All right, so what you're going to need to do is you need to bust up that stucco, because if that stucco just has a straight cut on it, it's going to crack.
Okay.
When you seam the new stucco to the old stucco, if the old stucco is just a straight line going, you know, going from the slab up to the 8 foot, you know, 7 foot mark or whatever, you'll see a crack. You need to create a jagged edge so the new stuff can fuse with the old stuff.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, because right now I do have a straight cut.
That's right, and that's not going to work. There will perpetually be a crack there.
Okay.
All right, so bust that up with the hammer. Then get some SK flashing. You know what SK flashing is?
No, I don't.
Comes in a roll. It's about 6 inches. Go to the home department and ask for the Sisocraft SK flashing, because you need to flash out your new jam before you put it in. You have to create a water barrier there.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm right with you.
All right. So all you need is SK flashing, and then bust up that existing stucco so you can get a nice tie-in. And then you just do a scratch coat, a brown coat, and a color coat. Or just a scratch coat and a brown coat, and then paint it.
Okay, well, how far back should I bust it up away from the frame?
All you need is a couple inches.
Okay.
It's just about where it connects, so a crack doesn't reappear.
Okay.
All right. Good times. Where was I?
Angie, any thoughts?
Any thoughts?
Nothing. I got nothing.
All right, Angie has a tool to, I'm sorry, Mario has a tool too. Angie has no tool. She has a tool holder. She has one of those holsters you put your screwless, your keyless screw gun in, but no actual screw gun.
Oh, I thought you were making a sexual innuendo.
No. Not when I say she has a beautifully worked in leathery holster for me to put my cordless screw shooter. Thank you.
Again, still not a sexual innuendo. All right.
No.
All right.
No.
That's it, Doris.
Go ahead, Mario.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
Good. You have a tool for me?
Yeah. Can you hold on 1 second?
Yes.
A little loud where I'm at, so I'm going to move the tool into a location where you can hear it a little better.
All right. Are you on the job site? Are you working?
Sir. Yeah, we're working in a shop. I work at a scene shop, so.
Work at a shop?
Yeah, scene shop.
All right.
Now, if he fools you, gift certificate to Hooters on the line.
Yes. So you build you build sets?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Stand by. You ready?
Yeah.
You go ahead, Dave. Yeah, send the light. Okay.
What the hell was that?
Were you able to hear that?
Well, I was, but it just sounded like a muddled mess.
It's like the Hunt for Red October.
Right.
When they're listening, I think I hear a sub, you know?
Now I'm the black guy with the headphones on. Could it be whales humping? How come we never know between whales and Soviet subs?
That sounds like a Soviet F-class.
I don't know. Could be a Norwal. I was just thinking of that B-52 song.
Yeah, right.
All right, now wait a minute. That was a pretty big tool. Give me a hand tool.
Oh, you want a hand tool?
Yeah, I know. You got some sort of huge industrial bandsaw or something there.
No, it's not that big at all.
Give me a hand tool.
Plus, we couldn't hear it that well.
It was hard to hear. It was very staticky.
Really?
Go over to the knack box and grab a grinder or something like that.
Okay, stand by. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh. Well, that sounds like a nail gun, but I'm guessing it's a staple gun, considering you build sets.
All right, you got it.
Wow.
Is it a staple gun?
It was a staple gun. The first one was an oscillating sander.
Wow.
That was nice. Nice deductive math you used there.
Thank you. That's why I would argue my genius most of the time. A nail gun, and a staple gun sound the same. And for every 30, there's probably 100 nail guns sold for every one staple gun, but you wouldn't use the nail gun as much if you're building
it's
sets.
It's a meeting of your experience, your decades of experience as a carpenter combined with your knowledge of show business.
Thank you, yeah. That's true. That's right. I wear the comedy, the tragedy, and the welding mask. Wow, it's powerful. Hey, anyone you'd like to hang out with less than someone who had the comedy and tragedy sort of mask tattooed somewhere on them, the thespian? I was behind a guy driving a Mercedes on the way home with a custom plate that said Actor on it. Nice. I thought, boy,
and
I hate this guy.
He was a big one.
You know,
he had to be.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was Denzel Washington because these guys like to advertise the big names. Yeah. And then I thought to myself, who's married to this a-hole? And then I thought, oh, no, wait, they're gay. All right, go ahead, Scott.
Hi, this is Scott in San Diego.
Hi, Scott in San Diego.
And I'd love to have you here, and I got a hand tool for you, power tool.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep. Oh, wow. It's tough. It's tough. Now, it was hard to hear. It was really hard to hear at the beginning. Give us one more shot. Were you too close or too far from the phone?
I was probably 2 feet away. I'll try a little farther away.
All right, let's hear. All right, whatever it is, it needs new bearings. I'm going to go with one of those 4-inch grinders.
Oh, you got it, man.
Wow. It's 4 inches? What different sizes do they make of this thing?
They make a 7-inch.
And yet you got it. You were accurate that it's a 4-incher.
Good job.
Scott, 4 inches?
You're right. You got it.
Guy like Scott wouldn't have a 7-inch one lying around the house. Mostly more circulated 4-inch grinders.
Huh.
That was a tough one, though.
Can I get a lunar certificate anyway?
Okay, for your candor. We appreciate you being so... You know, look, because it'd be easy for someone to go, nope, that wasn't it, nope, and just make up a tool. It would drive me insane. I would walk in a circle. I would pull to the right. All right, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Takes a big, big man not to stump me. Well, there you go. Sweet, sweet redemption, everybody.
That was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Started a little shaky, blew it with the scroll saw, felt like I was getting warmed up with that, but then a nice speedy recovery with the staple gun, then on to the 4-inch grinder. Was there another tool in between that?
That one that we didn't know what it was.
Oh, yeah. Something industrial. All right, well, that's how you play whatever we're calling that. All right, we will take ourselves a break. When we come back, that's when... Oh, we must draw first.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pull the name out.
That's
right. Let's see
who
we're going to roast.
All right. So this is going to be our little roasting limerick. It will get painful and insulting. I'm reaching into my bag of tricks. I'm going to pull... Scott has another tool to stump me. I can't help it. It beckons like the siren song. Scott? Yeah. Wait a minute, I think I just put him on hold. Did I just talk to him? Oh, no, wait a minute. Scott? Damn. What the hell's going on? Oh, is he gone? I keep hitting his phone line up. Huh. Maybe I screwed the phone up. All right, screw it. Oh, did I just talk to Scott? Was he the guy I just talked to? Yeah.
If you want me to pretend to be Scott, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I see you're on with Scott.
The show.
All right. Building a
desk. Don't like that
guy
doing the impression of you.
All right, I can't do it anymore. No, I already talked to Scott, right? Yeah, he's got his tool. All right, I'm reaching into the sack now. It's time for the limerick. All right, now, the rules are no writing until we go to commercial. Everyone's poised. I'm going to pull a name out, and we'll hear who we're roasting or who we're doing a limerick with as soon as we come back. Now, pens down as soon as we come back from commercial break, so you have about 6 minutes or so. All right, Angie is the name I pulled out.
Great.
Angie, producer, Angie Fitzsimmons, sitting in for Rachel Perry this morning. And when we come back, we'll hear her very insulting limericks after this.
And now it's time for free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, I was visiting my friend Carla last week and I noticed some photographs on her kitchen counter. I browsed through them and was shocked to see there were pictures of Carla and her husband, Caesar. naked, in various positions and stages. Caesar is extremely manly. Whenever I see Carla's husband, I flash back to those pictures and can't help fantasizing about what it would be like to be with him. This has begun to affect my sex life with my husband. I know it's wrong, but I can't help it. Should I tell Carla I saw the pictures? Help. Tempted in Carolina.
Dear Tempted, I see nothing to be gained by telling your friends you saw the pictures. The fantasies in which you are indulging is a common one. But let's get real here. Now, all the daydreams make for a pleasant reality. My advice is to snap out of it and find something.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Wow. Again, always impressed by the man. Whether he's putting on the boxing gloves or putting on his thinking cap. Always poignant. 866-901-ADAM. We decided to do some limericks. Decided to make a challenge out of it. I reach into a sack. I pulled out a name. Producer Angie was the name I pulled out. Everyone has now had the commercial break in order to form their limerick. We have a caller who is going to join in. Phone screener Brian's going to join in. First, let me just clear off a line here, a little unfinished business. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Your toilet leaks around the base?
Yes, Master Ace. I took a dump this morning, noticed that there was water on the bottom.
Yeah.
I never changed the toilet before, don't know what to do.
All right, I'll tell you what to do. First off, make sure that water is in urine, because once in a while on a cold morning, I will whiz between the seat and the bowl. I don't know why there's no... Yeah, let me tell you something. There's a device in baseball that they use. It didn't exist until Steve Yeager, the Dodgers, came up with. It was a little flap that hangs off the bottom of the catcher's face mask so you don't get hit in the Adam's apple with a fastball. Didn't exist for the first 60 years of baseball, and then somebody got hit with a fastball in the Adam's apple, and they made a little thing that hangs off there to protect it. They need that in the front of the toilet so I don't whiz straight out above the bowl, underneath the rim, and have it suck onto the contour of the bowl and just puddle up. And I actually use my pants as a bucket. I actually use my pants as a trough when I whiz straight out. It's always pathetic that the penis doesn't have enough hang to go straight down, but it will happen on occasion. So if that hasn't happened, then you need a new wax ring.
Wax ring?
Yes. When you mount your toilet to the floor, to the pipe that it goes to, there is a wax ring. Some people call the Johnny ring. They're about $1.50. For $2, you get the one that has a little rubber collar on it. Get it at any home improvement store, any hardware store. Not a specialty item.
Okay.
Go to your toilet. All right? Here's what you do. There's something called an angle stop. That comes out from the wall behind the toilet. Shut the water off.
Okay.
You got it?
Got it.
Turn it to the right. Righty-tighty. Lefty-loosey. Righty-tighty, shut that angle stop off. Then take yourself a crescent wrench and just loosen up the hose. Well, you might not even have to undo that hose, but let's just say you loosen it up and take it off anyway.
Right.
Take off that little braided steel hose there. Then you pull the two little caps up. There's two bolts holding that toilet on. They got caps,
uh-huh,
so you don't see them. Pop those plastic caps off on the base, undo the toilet bowl, lift the toilet bowl up, put the new wax ring on, and put the toilet back on and tighten the bolts back up.
Got it.
You understand? Now, those bolts may be corroded. Even though they should be brass, they may be corroded. So you're going to have to spray a little WD-40 or something on those things. And if you break one off, remember this, they attach to the flange, but the flange, you can slide them out. You don't have to push them through. That's complicated. Knock yourself out. Now, where are we? Oh, yes, the limericks. Angie's the name I pulled. So we'll just go in no particular order. I will grade all these. Producer Angie.
Yes.
Beautiful girl, blonde, nice set on her. Solid. Good solid B/C cup, yes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perky. All right, let's start with phone screener Brian. Brian, you have your limerick prepared?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. There once was a broad who loved booze, but didn't know which liquor to choose. 14 drinks later, lovely Lindsay laid her to bed, where soundly she snoozed.
Mm-hmm. Little hiccup in there. Started off strong, petered out a little.
Well, I think I better go next, only because my I seized on the exact same rhyme.
Well, that was the danger. Well, look, the reality is we don't know Angie. She's been working with us for a number of weeks. We're not exactly fans. All we know, she has a problem with booze. It's really the only thing we know, so I think that's going to be a recurring theme.
Booze is a nice word to rhyme with. Is that what everybody went with? Let me say
this, and let me jump in. I'm sorry, Mr. Damashek, but part of the deal is you have to get creative, because if you're Angie, and like I said, you're really only known for man, cow, and booze, and not in that order, being the first love. If you're really only known for your boozing in Vegas, that's what you're going to get with everybody, and I would say it's unfair for you to pick. I will pick the order.
Oh, okay. I just figured rhyming off of the ooze.
I understand.
I understand.
Let's go with Braska. Braska?
Yeah. By the way, I love Angie, and I don't really mean this.
All right.
Producer Angie is a true drunk. That I mean. Between her toes, she has smelly gunk. She's terrible reading the news, absolutely loves the booze, and when she's drunk, she bangs everyone, including Fat Tad.
That is a good one.
Working the toes.
This is Braska's recurrent theme, is making fun of people's toes.
I don't know.
It didn't rhyme.
I'm giving it a very generous 3.7.
Oh.
All right, a very generous.
Bad delivery.
A very generous. Well, that's part of your score is the written and half is the delivery.
Absolutely.
Pre-op, gay, post-op, board-op. Yes?
Yeah, I have one as well.
All right.
Angie is the producer of the Adam Carolla Show. When you mention man cow, you can see her face glow. She works closely with Jimmy. Get her drunk and see her shimmy. And even she wonders why the hell did Braska use big toe.
Wow, on the spot.
Callback to yesterday.
Callback.
Yeah. And there have been a couple of mentions.
That was callback to yesterday with big toe, but then he used toe again. So it was very,
may
very
I say, Angie,
fortuitous.
You say we don't know her. What we do know about Angie is that she spent some time in Chicago. During that stretch there, she made time with one man cow. This mad cow, radio guy.
Yes. He's on out here.
How about that?
All right, who's next? All right, now why don't you go, Damashek?
All right. Angie's got a problem with booze, like in Vegas when she showed me her coos. She's got a nice rack. When drunk, she'll grab your sack. And now her husband's singing the Trampy Lush Wife Blues.
Wow. Trampy Lush Wife. Well, that's solid.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it was a little blue. You know how I don't like working blue, but it was very solid, especially on short notice. Well,
thank you.
Now, who's last? Mike Lynch?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
When it comes to news, Angie's the best, and she's always impeccably dressed. She wears real small skirts and revealing shirts. It's hard not to stare at her chest.
Hmm. It's complimentary.
That was a nice one, yeah.
In an interesting angle, and I think Mike tried something there. I think he realized he'll depart from the pack a little bit and see if he can work a little. He will open a churro stand to your hot dog on a stick stand.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can compete. Was a decent experiment, but alas, not successful.
I have burger stand. Mine is a burger stand, mainstream fare, but my burgers are the best in the neighborhood.
Okay, that's now I'm getting hungry. Okay, now here's what happened. Brian started off strong. Phone screener Brian, nice job. Little hiccup in the middle and a peter out on the end. I'm going to give you a 6.7. Not bad. Almost would have been, without the hiccup, a clear 7. Braska, do we need to even go over this? This sort of reminds me of...
Bad delivery, but the point is I didn't rhyme at the end. That's part of the joke.
That's part of your joke.
Right.
I understood that, and that's why I gave you
3.7. And it was hilarious.
Bill did a nice job. Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, Paul has one on the phone. I forgot about that. Paul?
Yeah.
You have a limerick for Angie?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Adam's got a producer named Angie. On the show, she is really quite handy. When she's out on the town and the booze goes around, everyone gets in her panties.
All right. That's solid.
I'm really not that bad.
I got one more on here. Juris?
Yes, hi. I'm in Sacramento, Adam.
Hi, Juris. You have a limerick?
Yes, I do. But the reasoning is the limericks you've been hearing don't have the correct limerick, first two and then the last one. Let me go here. Angie sat in for Rachel with class. And she used to puff on the grass. She's no Rachel Perry, but among guys, she must be wary when they spy her wonderful heart-shaped ass.
Hmm. All right. So you're saying that's the proper cadence for a
limerick? You know, cadence. You have to have cadence. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. A good utilitarian sort of, he doesn't know Angie, so I think we have to grade these guys on a curve a little bit. I'll give Paul a, I'll give Paul a good 7.8 and Juris, 7.2. All right. Now, we'll continue with the, people in the room. So, Brian, we got scored Brusca. Bill, impressive. I'll give you an 8 on that one.
Wow.
Was nice. Well, he worked in, here's the thing. He worked in the big toe, and Brusca worked in the toe again, and it was impressive, even though it was because of yesterday's toe
one. Prescient rhyming on his part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Serendipity.
I'm Irish.
Serendipity.
It's in the gene.
Yes, but you're gay first. Don't ever forget that. All right, and then Damashek, 8.2. Very solid.
Oh, thank you.
Mike, 7.5. Clean. It was nice execution. At the end of the day, it wasn't insulting enough, and it was
G-rated.
It was very nice,
but it was a very interesting angle on the limerick. The point is I think we want the guy. We'd rather see the guy get a sock in the belly than a pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how clever the glove is you're wearing.
Okay,
thank you. Okay,
so Damashek had the best one.
Damashek's best one.
Agree,
you agree?
Yeah.
All right, he's wearing his clever glove. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with news. We'll be back with sports. We'll be back with you, Def Frat Guy. Ozzy's got a review. V for Vendetta, or as I predict, he calls it B for Bendetta. After this,
we're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right, 866-901-ADAM. Oswaldo's going to do V for Vendetta. We have the mayor of Calabasas, who's basically outlawed smoking everywhere. I have some choice words for him. Def Frat Guy swinging by. We got everyone. David Coker, the champ. You know him as Champ. Keckner. He spells his name. K-O-E-C-H-N-E-R. Keckner.
Very funny man.
David Keckner, yes, hilarious. He's in Thank You for Smoking, and of course you know him from Anchorman.
I will say one thing for her, Ed. She does have a nice big old behind. I'd like to put some barbecue sauce on that button.
Yeah, champ kind. So he's coming in here. We'll look forward to that. But first, filling in for Rachel Perry, the beautiful producer, Angie Fitzsimmons.
Early this morning, insurgents stormed a jail outside of Baghdad, killing at least 17 police officers and a guard.
You know, maybe we should stop calling them, rebels and insurgents and start calling them religious nut jobs. You know, it hit, because it's essentially what they are. They may be insurgents and rebels and fighters and all that, but they're religious whack jobs, first and foremost. And the whole insurgents part, that sort of takes a back seat to the crazy zealot religion that they have over there. Well, of course, we have our own president here who has his own whacked out religion, but at least ours doesn't do as much damage as theirs. But yeah, they stormed it like Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, at least, our president and his pal Dick Cheney, you know, everything is fine according to them.
Yeah.
Here's a little Dick Cheney from Face the Nation on Sunday.
Clearly, there is an attempt underway by the terrorists, by Zarqawi and others, to foment civil war. That's been their strategy all along. But my view would be they've reached a stage of desperation from their standpoint.
Sure.
For example, the bombing of the mosque in Samarra here a couple of weeks ago. That is a reflection of the fact that they are doing everything they can to stop the formation of a democratically elected government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's certainly. Yeah, they're in the last days of their little three-year insurgency.
This is pay your taxes and quiet down. Go ahead, Angie.
The religious nut jobs
thank you.
Released 33 prisoners and 10 attackers were killed in the battle.
Nice.
A 66-year-old man who was devoted to his perfectly kept lawn was charged with murder for shooting a 15-year-old boy who walked across his yard.
Yeah. Killed him with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm, to the chest.
Yeah, that's a bad neighbor.
Yeah, the man said that the boy and his parents have been harassing him for 5 years and that he just blew up yesterday.
He's worse than Mr. Wilson. He really is. That was the worst neighbor, the guy from Dennis the Menace, but now this guy's topped him. Well, there you go. You learn a valuable lesson. Stay off people's lawns.
He remains in jail without bond.
Yeah, I know. I like when they give their excuse for shooting a 50-year-old a shotgun. Well, look, he kept getting onto the lawn. Oh, I see. Well, this wasn't the first time. Well, then then you're free to go.
Then it's okay.
Here's your shotgun back, old man. Hit the streets. All right.
And Donald Trump's wife had a baby boy yesterday. The baby's name is Baron William Trump. Mm. Here is Donald talking to Access Hollywood about his baby's looks.
Well, I hope he looks like Melania. I'd be very happy if he looked like Melania, not me.
Well, they just call him Blowhard Jr., okay. So we know who he is. And by the way, does everyone have to laugh their ass off at everything that Trump says?
Yes.
That's part of the problem. Pat O'Brien cackling like a madman every time he belches. Yeah.
Pat O'Brien also, by the way, if you caught The Insider last night, referred to Muhammad Ali as a close
dear
friend.
Dear friend. Mm. Yeah. Sure.
Everybody's a dear friend of Pat O'Brien.
Yeah, here's the whole thing about
Ali.
Everyone does that with Ali. He's a hero. He's a dear friend. And they all know that, A, they're not going to... If a celebrity says, look, if a celebrity said they were a dear friend of Adam Carolla's, I wouldn't go, I don't know that guy. It's nice to have celebrities who are dear friends. So you just go, all right, I mean, it's one thing... If Hitler's mom calls you a dear friend, then you go, wait a minute, we never met. But when you have some cool celebrity calling you a dear friend, you just say, yeah. And plus, Ali, you know, when he's not shadow boxing, he's playing a magic trick, but it's hard to figure out what he's saying, so he knows he's not going to say anything about it.
Well, I mean, I was just saying that same thing to my good pal, Marlon Brando.
So. Wow, you guys are still tight.
That's right.
I figured after his death, you guys would have drifted apart a little bit.
You were wrong.
Okay. Okay, perhaps.
And yes. Speaking of Donald Trump, if you missed last night's Apprentice, here's the guy who got fired from the Apprentice and Donald's reasons why.
Look, your team can't stand you. They think you're a loser. They think you're a loose cannon. And they really don't think they function very well with you. In fact, they think that they're not doing well because you're such a negative influence on the team. Brent, you're fired.
Yeah. That's Brent, the fat lawyer guy?
Mm-hmm.
Pudgy cheeked guy. I'll tell you, it is funny, really. It's really like a lesson in the human condition when you see that guy. If you seen this guy, Brent?
Mm-mm.
Everyone is sort of good looking and svelte and trim and thin and attractive, and then there's the pudgy guy who's real soft dick with the fat cheeks and the glasses and the super nerdy looking guy.
Wait, are you talking about Brusca? Oh, you're talking about the guy on the show. I'm sorry, never mind.
No, I did mean Brusca. Oh, I was talking about the show.
I see.
I mean, I say the show. I mean, this show. Yes, everyone's in great shape. And then there's Brusca, our resident lesbian. No, everyone on The Apprentice is beautiful, in great shape, and, you know, really the beautiful people, the people mm-hmm. that prom kings and queens and homecoming kings and queens and all that stuff. And then there's Brent, the chubby guy, and they all just dive on him, and they're back in the sixth grade, and they're out on the schoolyard. It's all they can do not to call him fat ass and, you know, yell cootie patrol and give him noogies. They're just like, except for everyone's in their 40s, but they all just pile on the guy. Now, the guy's an ass. Don't get me wrong. But all of a sudden, that sort of schoolyard mentality swells up in you again. You just want to beat the fat kid. So they finally got rid of him. All right.
And last week, I know you were upset hearing that Carmen Electra and Dave Navarro were heading for a divorce.
Mm.
Here's Carmen talking about her marriage.
Everything's fine. I'm wearing my ring. I promise you that if there's something going on, that I won't wear this. And that's a promise.
Wow.
Thank you, Carmen,
well,
for making Carmen, that promise to
Carmen
millions of strangers.
That's a promise.
She sounds right. Trustworthy, I think.
Yeah, it's a promise. All right, because listen, I love those kids, and I wish them well. And if they can't work out, then I know me and my wife can't work out. So I told my wife we're this close. Yeah.
And new
well, it was really math. I said, look, if Dave, first I made the sweeping statement. I said, sweetie, don't you agree that if Carmen and Dave can't work out, nobody can work out? And she said, you're right about that. And I said, good, they're not working out, and we're nobody. So I split.
New on DVD today, Capote, Derailed, Chicken Little, Dreamer, and The Squid and the Whale.
Mm.
And finally, damage from Cyclone Larry is expected to run into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And authorities are saying that the number of people left homeless by Larry will be in the thousands. Amazingly, nobody was killed by her Cyclone Larry.
Mm, okay. I hear Cyclone Larry is now coming to the studio. Cyclone, you here?
Good eye. Or should I say... Bad day.
No, really? Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Somber. Maybe feeling his oats.
You'll feel the thunder from down under once again.
I'm just distracted that we don't have the goddamn wind sound effect workshop that we've been. Thank you. Keep going with that, Angie. So listen, Cyclone Larry, you've caused a lot. There, yeah. We'll keep going. You've caused a lot of damage. You have no remorse. People uprooted, put out of their homes. Millions of dollars of damage. No problem at all.
As I like to say, it was a perfect storm of pain, despair, and destruction.
Well, you like what you do for a living, Cyclone Larry.
An entire continent felt my wind. Lightning strikes flew from my fingertips and thunder from my arse.
Thunder. Much better than lightning from the arse, which I had about 2 weeks ago. It's very difficult. Yeah. So, Now, are you moving on, or are you going to hang around the Australian coast, or are you moving inland, or have you met Katrina yet? And if so, what kind of gal is she?
I reckon she's getting all the credit.
Mm.
Hers is not, you know, really it was overrided. She got a, it was from the flooding. See,
yeah.
Cyclone Larry
right.
is a perfect storm.
Right.
An entire continent felt my wind, rain, wind, blowing.
Right.
This was a storm of biblical proportions, prophesied in the Bible.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, so the point is, what you're saying is you're a serious class 4 type storm. Katrina over there, she's all right, but it's mostly flooding and black folks that refuse to leave their shacks. I mean, she's getting all the credit over there, yet you're just as powerful as storm, right?
Call me the thunder from down under. You shall feel my wrath.
We saw your review in Vegas, by the way. Totally different than I pictured.
It's hot.
Yeah, it was hot. All right. Thank you, Cyclone Larry. Thank you. Frightening just to have him in the studio. I'll tell you, and for Mike August, a great booking, too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's normally, you know, he couldn't get Larry Minetti in studio, but yet he has the Cyclone
drawing from
Larry in
continent.
Here.
Yeah.
Biggest thing in the news right now.
Yeah, not a bad booking. Nice job.
Boy, that was stupid.
All right, Angie. Well, if we had our sound effects, it would have been awesome.
I'm Angie, and that's your news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
World Baseball Classic Finals last night. Nobody in America could give a hoot about it, but Japan beat Cuba 10-6 to claim the crown. Meantime, the U.S. of A., again, if it bears repeating, couldn't finish in the top four, and in fact lost to Canada and Mexico, which renders us the bronze medal winner within our own continent.
What a shame. You know what it is? I just figured it out. We're capitalists. We need to get paid, otherwise we're not motivated.
It's true, because all the other nations were gaga over this thing. Nations stopped to watch these games. America barely even noticed.
Right. We need our players, whether it's the Olympics that we don't do that great in, or it's baseball, or any of these tournament-type things where we take on the world, we need moolah. You give us money, and we'll win. Put $10 million up for the country that wins, then we win. If not, not interested. Why? Capitalists. Thank you.
Kobe Bryant scored 43 in Boston last night, and his team won the boot. A rare treat. They're now alone in seventh place in the Western Conference as we draw closer to the playoffs. Clippers also got all up into some hoops last night. They beat Houston down there. They're now 13 games over 500. That's their best mark since they played out in Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
Terrell Owens, of course, as everybody knows, is now a Dallas Cowboy, and he bid a fond adieu to Philadelphia Eagles by making a rap song. Let's hear a bit of that.
I am back with a vengeance. I'm back on the mission. Got the recipe, bro. So I'm back in the kitchen. Trying to take me out the game. People saying I'm missing. Got the whole world's uninvited attention. It's a brand new year. Got a brand new team. I'm a cowboy now. No more black and green. And to the hater who said I wouldn't get my money, I'm laughing in your face. Ha ha. That's funny.
Well, that's well done. At least he's focusing. First of all, he's a dynamite rapper. I don't think we can argue that much. But beyond that, it's nice that he's focusing on team and talking about getting his money.
Yeah, he's got his head in the right place. I think he's learned a valuable lesson. And let me ask this. I can't be the first person to bring this up, but it just came to mind. Wasn't he the guy who was standing in the middle of the Texas Stadium on the star doing his posing a few years back and Roy Williams attacked him or something?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, it's weird, and maybe I haven't been watching as much SportsCenter as you, but I haven't seen footage of
it. Oh, yeah, no, they've talked
the first
about
thing
it
they would do
on the SportsCenter.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, that he's he apologized to Jerry Jones. He's a competitor. He was just trying to win a game, and of course, that directly affected the outcome of the game.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
Celebrating not once, but twice on the Dallas
Part of
star,
winning the game is crossing the goal line and then carrying the same ball to the center of the field and posing it with it. Yes.
You're a competitor. I don't have to explain that to you.
I know. I do that with the microphone every day. I run over to Mark and Brian's studio with it, and I stand on their console. That's right.
And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but also urinate on their chairs.
Sure. I don't think that's letting the cat out of the bag. I think that's letting the urine out of the bladder.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
And, you know, you were talking about keeping some fast company, you know, about and bragging you know people. But Barbara Walters, you know, in the pre-Oscar thing, you know, she does her interviews, and it was fantastic. She lined up some of the, what I guess sort of considered to be some of the hottest guys in Hollywood. If you saw it, you know, she talked to Clooney, she talked to Patrick Dempsey, Matthew McConaughey, the so-called world's sexiest man, and of course me. And I was a little disappointed that nobody brought that up, but immodestly, I thought I should at least.
This is way back at the Oscars.
This was the night of the Oscars. They played it. I was waiting for somebody to bring it up, and I don't know if it was sour grapes on your part or whatever it was, but Babs and I sat down for a heart-to-heart.
All right.
Where is the career now?
Things are great. I'm hosting the Adam Carolla Show. You know, we've got my sidekick, Adam Carolla. We called the show after him to help give the kid a break and hopefully get his career off to a running start. But things are going real well. Thanks.
Do you do drugs? Do you smoke grass?
Whoa. Who's asking? You looking to score, Babs? I know Hugh Downs was cool, but I had no idea about you.
Are you a cool, groovy little guy?
Oh, you know I am, and you're my furry little monkey lady, aren't you?
Monkey boy.
Monkey lady.
Monkey boy.
Monkey lady.
Monkey boy.
All right, enough of this game. Let's just move on, huh?
When was the last time you talked with Michael Jackson?
I talked to him Sunday night. He's the best at filling out the NCAA brackets. He is a huge hoops fan. He says take Duke, but I went with UConn.
Do you do drugs? Do you smoke grass?
I think we already covered this. I think somebody here has been smoking weed.
Monkey boy.
Please stop calling me that.
Monkey boy.
All right, I think I'll just head out.
Monkey boy. Monkey boy. Monkey boy.
Wow.
Babs.
I don't know if they were using a boom mic or he had a lav on, but it seemed like they didn't have it mixed right.
You think? I mean, yeah, it's a...
I saw it, and, you know, it was funny. I didn't notice it when I was watching it on TV because I was sort of lost in your eyes. But now just hearing the audio, it didn't seem like it was mixed right. Or maybe whoever lifted it off the TiVo didn't do a
great
maybe
job. What you're hearing is the tension that was there. I
that
think
could
that
be sexual
across.
Tension.
I mean, it started off pleasantly enough, but I don't want to, you know, she's a legend, but she was a little off her game.
You could tell
opinion.
She wanted you. For
yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, nice show.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Oswaldo's coming in here. He's going to review V for Vendetta, or as he likes to call it, B for Vendetta. Sheila has a home improvement question. I can't stop myself. Sheila?
Yes.
Quickly, home improvement question.
Okay, real quick. I have a staircase, and it's not straight up. It kind of turns around. So four of the stairs are like triangle shaped.
Yes. They're like a wedge of pie.
Correct.
They start tight and they get wide. Those are called the treads, by the way. The things that are vertical are called the risers. Treads and risers.
Oh.
Things your feet go on, you step on, those are the treads of the stairs.
Oh.
All right.
Good. Thank you. Anyways, I have a chandelier up at the top that I have a whole bunch of bulbs in it that I can't change. And I tried getting one of those cherry picker changers and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And are bulbs the principle of righty-tighty, lefty-loose? Okay.
Yes. Yes. It's all... They don't change it from light bulbs to screws and things like that, otherwise life would get very confusing.
Well, something is different. I just can't recall what it is.
All right, you need a man, Lesbo. Do you have a man?
Please.
Now, her name is Lesbo. Sheila Lesbo. Do you have a man?
Oh, brother, I hope nobody's listening to this.
No?
Do I have one?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, that's what you need.
Oh, brother.
And when I say man, I mean man, not one of these metrosexuals like Damashek or anyone else over here. I mean
How
a man.
You?
You know what I'm saying. A guy who can turn your bulb.
Well, how's he going to do it?
Well, he's going to do it the same way I would do it if we were together.
What would that be?
You go in the kitchen and rattle your pots and pans. I'll be on the A-frame making and being with the light bulbs.
Making a what?
All right. What I'm saying is look, everybody, let's not forget how we're born here. The ladies, you feed the cat, take care of the kids, make something in the kitchen. We're going to get on the ladder and fix the light bulb. That's
so you're
why
saying she can't do it?
She could, but why not just get a guy? This is why 50,000 guys die every year falling off ladders and no women do. You guys just call the paramedics when you see blood coming from our ear. That's
but,
all.
You know, while men will continue to do this, because this is so-called man's work to do these sorts of things, fewer and fewer women get into the kitchen and make with the food anymore.
I know. I'll tell you, it's the greatest diabolical
really
plan ever hatched upon society, which is, at some point, ladies said, hey, we're not your slaves. We don't have to go in the kitchens. We don't have to mend your jeans. We don't have to iron your clothes. Who do we look like, Mammy Kizzy? You guys learn how to do that yourselves.
Now go fix that light bulb. Drag out the garbage and so on and so
forth. I'll be eating bonbons and watching novellas.
That's why I feel so. I never expected it from my lovely new wife, but Miss Cindy, she's a real chef.
Yes.
That's in the kitchen.
Oh, really?
Makes delectable treats. Fantastic.
Mm. We'll have to swing. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to come over for dinner.
It's a bonus.
We'll take a... I got a bonus for her. I like that little spinner. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Ozzy and his movie review after this.
I say Adam, and he says...
Adam?
I say Hoffman, and he says...
Osman.
Adam.
Adam?
Hoffman.
Osman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says...
Racist.
I say confusion, and he says...
Confusion.
Racist.
Racist.
Confusion.
Confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
I'll tell you what I love about life and about radio, even though this is Ozzy's 26th appearance on the show, we have to tell him to put the headphones on. All of us sit here with our headphones on. All right, Ozzy, got that microphone there?
He's shrugging his shoulders. He says, I don't give a good goddamn.
Yeah. Now pull it closer to you there. There we go. Yes, I know. All things that haven't been discussed
good
before.
Good t-shirt for Ozzy today, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I survived Black Thursday. What is that even in reference to? Do you know, Ozzy?
Everybody show off the line in New York.
He doesn't know. I give him every T-shirt he has. He got from my house. Did I give you that shirt?
No.
No. You know why? Because that's an XL. I would have kept that one.
My sister bring it to me from New York.
What is the deal with the Latins? You guys have some sort of T-shirt exchange program? You know how the blacks have that with their kids? You know, everyone gets raised by their aunt. You have some kids. You drop them off at your sister's house. She raises them. She drops her kids off at your house. You raise them so everyone can be raised by their aunt. Do you guys have that with T-shirts?
It's okay.
Okay. What I'm saying is I give you a T-shirt, your sister gives you a T-shirt, then when you get a new T-shirt, you have to give it to your sister, and she in turn sends it to your brother. And I mean, that way no one ever gets their own T-shirt.
And that's why you wind up seeing many day laborers wearing T-shirts that read World's Greatest Grandma.
Yeah, sexy senior citizen.
Passing generation.
He has one, Ozzy has one that says, yes, I do, but not with you. And there's a fox licking its tail.
He sends some of them to his country. He told me that one day.
But there
Foxes
you go.
Of them.
And they send other ones back. That's how it goes. It's all an exchange program. Again, not a racist statement. Not by talking about the black families either. There's a cultural thing there. People don't like their own kids or their own T-shirts, so they just spread them around. Everyone does another. Maybe you do a better job. That's it. Maybe you tend to hit your own kids more than you would your sister's kids. So you send your kids to your sister, and she raises her kids. You think about it.
Interesting.
It's like driving someone else's car. You don't want to drink coffee in it. You might stain the seats. Think about it. Powerful stuff. The more you know. Thank you. All right, Oswaldo, you're here with Dana Jelinek. Dana is very pregnant. When's your due date today, Dana?
Today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that Ozzy's kid?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, because I know you guys were pretty tight.
I didn't remember that part.
When I was doing my TLC Home Improvement show, I met Diana on the set there. We called in somebody. She's a speech therapist, a foxy speech therapist.
Thank you.
And it's not that you're not foxy anyway. You're definitely foxy. But as a woman gets further along in her career and still remains foxy, it's that much more impressive.
What are you saying? I'm old?
To the guys. No, what I mean is you have a title.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing to be, oh, she's really hot and she is a bar back over at TGI Fridays, or she's a temp, or she's a receptionist. You're supposed to be hot and do that job. You do that job until you marry a rich guy. But to have a career like speech therapist and be foxy at the same time.
Hey, I'm doing it both.
Quite an achievement.
Thanks.
Yeah. And supposed to give birth today.
I love the word foxy, actually, because when you have a belly like this, you stop feeling that way.
Well, it works on you. Some guys are into that stuff.
I don't want to know about it.
Okay. You're due today. You have a boy?
I do. Yeah.
You have the kids' names worked out?
We're down to three.
Mm-hmm.
My husband quizzes 12-year-old boys and says, who would you rather beat up on the playground? He gives the names out.
That's a good approach, though, sure. Actually.
Yeah, I like the, yeah, it's good to say, he's just quizzing the boys. He's not diddling them? Just quizzing?
Yeah, as far
okay.
as I know.
Well, I'm just saying, you don't know where guys are at these metrosexuals.
That's true.
Yes. What are the names? What do you have it worked down to?
Dashiel.
Ooh, that's an ass kicker.
say your Dashiel. Last name again.
Jelinek.
Jelinek.
Dashiel Jelinek. No, it sounds like you're drunk.
No. His last name will be Altus.
Oh, Altus.
Dashiel Altus. No, nah. Still bad.
Nah,
a name like that. Here's what happens. No, it sounds like you're drunk. When you're named Dashiel Altus, cop pulls you over for expired tabs. What's your name, sir? Dashiel Altus. Okay, get out of the car. That's he sound. You've been boozing, son? That's
now,
what it sounds
play
like.
Devil's advocate, though. Yeah. You have to think about what he's going to be called day to day, and Dash Altus is pretty cool.
Yeah,
Dash Altus is good,
cool,
though.
Yeah.
All right, Dash, but just go Dash.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's what
exactly.
you wanted to be called, go Dash.
Absolutely, that's the point.
L at all.
Forget
Dash.
The L, junk.
Yeah,
but the young boys seem to think that Wyatt would beat up Dashiel.
No.
No.
The Brokeback Mountain was what, like,
pretentious.
Killed that for us.
Yeah. Pretentious.
It sounded like a quiet cowboy, and we kind of thought, eh.
So far, I'm with Dash, but no Dashiel. Just Dash. It'll be ironic when he's the slowest kid on the baseball
that's
team.
What I'm worried about.
But go Dash anyway. Wyatt's no good. What's the next one?
Augustin.
Now, is it Augustine or Augustin?
No. Augustin.
Uh-huh.
Augie for short.
Augie. Not bad. Oh, but again, I might just go Augie.
Yeah.
Rather than Augustin.
Don't even do the Augustin?
No, that's
is it a family
that's,
name
that's
or
horrible. That's not good.
No, actually, it's a writer, Augustin Burroughs, that we like.
Nah, don't do that pretentious writer crap. By the way, what are you guys doing reading anyway with TiVo? Come on. This kid's not going to know from books.
We got TiVo too.
All right. Just read the instructions
Dash,
for
Dash
the TiVo.
You haven't
Dash
given us
helpful.
A lot to work with here.
I go Dash.
Boys' names are hard.
I go Dash. Dash is good.
Okay.
Dash is good. As a matter of fact, I got a kid coming too. I'm going to name him Dash.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that. A
couple of days.
Thank you. No, just Micah. You have to find a new name.
You seem like a nice lady. Let me help you out right now.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
What?
Luther.
Luther.
Luther Altus is an awesome name.
That sounds evil.
And
Luther Altus.
Evil.
You want to talk about a dude no one's going to mess with on the playground, and in fact, will run the playground. And beyond that, not only he won't ever have to go to fisticuffs, he'll have his minions do it. Boys, take care of him. I don't care for this one. Luther Altus gives the orders.
Oh, great. Now my husband's going to be on to Luther. He's going to love that one.
Yeah. How about this one? It just sounds like something right out of a court transcript or something. Motive Altus. Sounds like some kind of crime is being described, but it still sounds good. Sounds like the world's greatest detective. Detective Motive Altus. Yes?
A-M-A.
Write that down.
You got to think of the initials, too. We had a B name, and then the middle name's going to be Robert, but we realized it was going to be, the initials would be B-R-A.
Yeah.
Bra, which would not be good.
Well, I knew a dude named Benjamin Meyerson when I was growing up, and I thought, wow. Do the initial math on the BM. All right, so you are a speech therapist. Yes, you've helped Ozzy in the past. You did a good job, but almost like a trainer working with somebody. He's back on the churros and the Mr. Pibb. He's gotten sloppy again. You need to give him a quick cleansing. So,
okay.
Ozzy, I'm going to ask you to do your movie review. And then we'll see if Diana can help you out in the... And I actually have a prize for you if she can.
More language problems?
Yes. I have the phrase that pays for you over here. So why don't we start with our movie review?
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Yeah.
It's always funny.
Good morning.
It's actually funnier when Brusca's in here frantically trying to cue him, but he doesn't react to it. But I like this part, too.
Where are you?
All right, where are you? It's my question. Go ahead.
The movie I saw was V for Bandera.
That's right. Just as I predicted.
Which is
V for Bandera.
Fantastic film.
Now, wait. What's the movie called again?
V for Bandera.
V for Bandera.
Halfway home.
All right. V for Bandera.
For Bandera.
Right. Like V for Bart.
Yeah.
What?
V.
For Bandera.
For Bandera.
Okay. Here we go.
Which is a fantastic film starring Hugo Weaving as V.
Who? Who's it starring?
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo?
Hugo.
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 He.
Hugo.
Yeah, look, you can say huevos.
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 Huevos rancheros.
All right, now say huevos.
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 All right. Hugo.
Hugo.
Yeah!
Weaving.
Nice job, buddy. See, he's got
S-B.
It. Right.
Natalie Portman.
Hold on. Hugo Weaving. Is V.
It's V, yeah.
Okay.
Natalie Portman is Abby Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Rea is Finch. He's the guy, you know, the Secret Force.
Stephen Rea is Finch?
Finch, yeah.
Finch.
Finch. The
Stephen
Force.
Ray.
The Secret Force, you know, the guy, killer, and asking later, you know, mm-hmm. Who are you?
Stephen Ray.
Yeah, Stephen Ray.
All right.
And John Hurst. Is Adam Seller.
Young Horse is Adam Seller?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Adam Seller.
No, what's the actor's name?
John Horse.
John Horse?
Horse.
John Hurt?
Horse.
Hurt?
Hurt.
Hurt?
Hurt.
Wow.
See, I worked with this guy for 16 years.
That's mind-boggling.
I know.
Hurt.
Again, these are names. You know what I mean? It's Sepulveda. I don't call it Sepulveda. I just see it's Sepulveda. I take your word for it. You guys call it Sepulveda.
Sepulveda Altus would not be a bad name.
That would be very good. All right. Or perhaps maybe just John Horse Altus. All right. John Hurt. What's his character's name?
Adam Sutler.
All right. Sutler I have here, but go ahead.
B for Bandera is based on ideal to set the city free from corruption, oppression, and death.
I like corruption on you. Say corruption again.
Corruption.
Nice.
So, in the beginning, the movie is set to the futurist landscape in absolute Britain, where a young woman, Abby Hammond, is saved by the masked man named B.
Named B. Aunt B.
We're going out the attack by the corrupt government forces. They enforce the law that is called Yellow Curve.
Hmm. Yes. B for vagina.
Oh, almost.
All right. Keep going.
So she becomes surrounded. They try to wrap her boot right before they do B coming to her rescue.
He rescues her.
And Vida. So shows yeah. Bandera.
Bandera.
The movie remember me.
Or did what to you?
The movie remember me, you know.
It knows you.
The time, you know.
It reminds you.
Yeah.
Right?
My country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The torture, the corruption. You know, the people, you know.
The movie reminds you back in your country yeah. of mispronouncement, Berg. Yes. Right.
You know, the people, you know, my friend disappeared, you know, the people kill her, and later asking, who are you, you know?
That. Difficult. Sandinistas?
Yes, no, Somoza Army.
Ah.
Before the Sandinistas.
Right.
And now the Sandinistas do it too, you know?
Yeah. See, they're all bad. That's why we got you here.
Yeah, I remember in Nicaragua when the guerrilla forces found me and tortured me.
They tortured you.
They physical abuse.
Wow, it's getting cathartic.
Me and asking me a thousand questions. The one not a gone time for me. Mm-hmm. And because the memories,
mm-hmm.
before Bandera, left this reviewer call.
Wow. I see. So it brought you back.
Yeah.
To your days over in Nicaragua.
Yeah, man.
You didn't care for that very journey sad. Down memory lane.
Yeah.
I don't like the movie.
Thank you for not freaking out in the theater, by the way.
I liked it. I went to see it. I thought it was very good.
I don't like the moment.
You also didn't go.
Hold on. What movie was it? I didn't quite get that from the review.
V for Bandera.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Wasn't Capote again.
V for Vendetta.
All right. Oswaldo. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Nice job.
Cold.
As usual. I left that reviewer cold. Here's my challenge to you and Diana Jelinek, your diction coach. You ready?
I'm scared.
I'm going to give you guys a phrase, all right? You're going to need to learn that phrase sometime in the next hour or so. And if you get that phrase, we're going to give you a prize, although Brusca has not made it clear what prize we're going to give you. We're going to give him a pool table, give him a gift certificate. Whatever it is, it'll be a nice prize. But Ozzy, I'm going to grade you, and you got to get this down. And Diana, you got to do a good job with him.
Oh, God. And how long do I have?
Well, let's see. We'll give you an hour or so. How about that? You want to know what the phrase is?
Yeah.
We have it written down. I know I'm holding it in my hand, but I want to give it to Ozzy. Do you have another version of it? Oh, give that one over to Ozzy.
Right.
Now, I will say it first, and then Ozzy, you read it. You ready? Philip Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Huffman star in the movie A for Adam. Give it a try.
Philip Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Huffman started the movie A for Adam.
Okay, that seems like we got your work cut out for you, Diana.
Oh my God! All right.
Oh, we're gonna give Ozzy the Palm Z22 organizer. I know.
What is Ozzy going to do with that?
I know you're a Mac man, but you will be able to use. What do you mean?
He'll sell it on eBay.
Yeah, he'll get his whole schedule on there. 8 a.m. eat a churro. 9 a.m. go to Adam's house and get a T-shirt. 10 a.m. eat another churro. 11 crack a Budweiser. 12 go to Adam's house, get another T-shirt.
Check the freezer in the garage.
Check the fridge in the garage for the Amstel Light. 12:01, hand Adam an Amstel Light so he stops complaining about you drinking his Amstel Light. All right, Ozzy, go work on that with Diana.
All right.
Okay.
I have a little payment in advance, if I could, for Diana. She seems like she's got a lot
got
of work
a name,
to do.
Huh?
I have a name for her.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever see the movie Devil in a Blue Dress with Denzel Washington? It's a book. Anyway,
I don't think I did.
His name in the picture is Zeke. When he goes around, he's a detective named Zeke.
But Zeke
Altus is a great name.
Ooh,
Zeke Altus, but wait a second, it gets way, way better. I've dug into my personal vault. I have too many names to give my own children who have yet to be born. Zeke Altus, but his friends call him Easy. Easy Altus!
Easy Altus.
You can't beat it!
You can't beat Easy Altus.
Zeke Altus, they're calling roll Zeke Altus in class. Yeah. It's cool, it has a nice ring in business, but his chum's Easy Altus.
Easy Altus, is that nice. Sound like
the coolest
boss,
guy in school?
That
no
guy
one
sounds
would mess
like
with
the
that
worker.
Guy.
It doesn't really sound like the boss.
Oh, absolutely.
Easy Altus. No, that's
absolutely
strong. This guy starts his own magazine, and it's yes. one of those really cool magazines where you don't even know what it's about.
You name him that, from day one, he's on Easy Street. That's yeah. exactly right.
All right, it's going on the list.
Yeah. No, not on the list. Top of the list.
And listen, every street he lives on technically is Easy Street.
Absolutely.
Because he lives there.
Wow.
All right. We will take a break. You can't buy that kind of good advice.
You're welcome.
You guys, you guys hash out the phrase.
I be back.
Okay. Yeah, the mayor of Calabasas is on. I'm going to talk politics and perhaps chew a new one after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
All right, Bruska and I are arguing off the air now. Thinks I'm getting on his back. Good. Say your piece, Bruska, before we talk about our mayor over
whatever.
Here.
It's not, listen, the bottom line is it's not worth getting into on the air, but...
All right. You don't like the disrespect.
I disagree.
Well,
I disagree, too.
Well, you know, here's the deal. For the first month and a half, I let it go, all these little digs or whatever. And
right.
over time, it's like enough's enough, you know? Enough's
right.
enough. You know, I'm not going to be a punching boy, you know, or whipping boy, whatever.
Yes.
Over stupid things, you know?
Right.
But
trivial,
he does it to everybody.
Things. No. But if it's in a good-natured way, I'm fine with it. But when it gets malicious or whatever, or I'm not going to put up with it.
That's well, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just saying, here's what happens. The guest sits down. The guest doesn't have the mic in front of him. Then I say to you during the break, hey, Breska, we need to have the mic in front of the guest because they don't talk into the mic half the time and they don't seem to know. Now, I agree with you. It's sad that people don't know that. And it's counterintuitive. You think they would, but evidently they don't. So we talk about it multiple times. But then when it happens the third day in a row, I make a comment about it. And I say it'd be nice because it's come up many times.
You don't say it would be nice.
Oh, I don't say you're stupid. I'd say as we've discussed before.
Right.
Because we did discuss it the day before.
You say it in a nasty... The bottom line is this. I show you respect when you forget things, which is plenty of times, by the way.
Yes.
And I never jump in.
One would argue that you pointing that out, though, is showing disrespect. But yes, I do
forget. I didn't
want
to talk about this
I
on
do
the air,
forget
but you
things.
Want to talk about it on the air. So yes. Now I'm telling you honestly what the deal is. Everyone forgets things.
Yes.
I don't disrespect you. I should be given the same respect back.
Sort of. But then I stumped Breska right before we went out of commercials. I said, well, what about picking on Big Tad?
Well, listen, Big Tad, it's a different thing.
Why? Because he's lower than you are?
Dave, let's put it this way. No, when Dave makes fun of whatever, I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian, I laugh. Have you seen me laugh? Do I get on his face? Whatever he says.
Because you know you're only one of those two things.
Well, whatever. I don't care.
I didn't say which one.
I think it's funny. But when you show disrespect, he's not showing disrespect. He's just making jokes. When you show disrespect to me, I have a problem with it.
Well, I would argue that you're showing disrespect to me on the air when you don't put the mic in front of the person.
Well,
three or four times
in a row.
The
thing is, you gave me crap about that, and I was not in the room when Ozzy was doing his thing.
I know, but when the guest sits down, you got to put the mic right in front of him.
I understand that, but on the last one in particular,
all right, you're not in the room.
Right.
All right.
So you gave me crap about something that I wasn't even in the room for.
Okay.
And number two is just in generally...
Disrespect.
Exactly.
All right. You want more respect. All right.
If I don't get it... Whatever. I mean, you know, I'm going to complain about it. We're going to have issues.
Okay. All right.
If you think that's fun and good radio and it hasn't been effed out.
Yeah. All right. Ooh.
I think it's kind of fun.
I think it's kind of fun,
too. I think it's downright delightful.
But look, I would argue, here's what I would argue. I would argue that if I ask you to do something like the microphone three or four or five times in a row and it doesn't get done, that's disrespect, even though there are no words used. You know what I'm saying?
It's not disrespect.
It's not.
No.
So
I got a lot going on, and I forget. I don't intentionally move the mic away or not move the mic close. I don't intentionally try and screw things up.
All right.
I just have a lot of going on, and sometimes I'm not in the room.
All right. Well, maybe we should.
And sometimes I forget, just like you have a lot going on, and sometimes you forget things.
I know. Okay. But that's my prerogative. I get to do it because I'm the boss. You see, the boss gets to forget.
Well, like we talked about yesterday, how far does that go?
Well, it goes farther than you do. That's how far it goes. All right. Breska from the mean streets of, where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn. Listen, I'm
Schenectady. All right.
Whatever.
All right.
Pick up the phone and talk to the mayor.
All right.
I'm a man of peace. I love the conflict. My only rule is, as long as I'm not one of the people involved in the conflict.
Right. Well, now where do you
find this enchanting?
Damashek, now let me just ask Angie, Damashek, you guys be honest. Where do you come down on the disrespect, the microphone, that stuff?
I don't think that's disrespectful at all.
I
don't agree with Breska is what I'm saying.
Do you think the fact
that... Oh, it is a shock. Everyone's
all right, but let me ask you this. Here's the way, I guess...
That's such a little thing. It's not a big...
All right, here's the deal, Angie. You sat right there next to Ozzy. I wasn't in the room. You didn't remember to move the mic to him.
Again, I'm not in here every day.
Okay, but you could have done it, and that would have been done.
Of course I could,
none of us in the room. Actually, none of us in the room actually remembered to move the mic into Ozzy's mouth or closer to Ozzy's mouth while I was out of the room, yet I got crap for it.
Well,
that doesn't make sense.
But here's the fundamental problem, Breska, and I know this is built up a little and this is residual and it's not just the microphone or whatever, but here's our fundamental argument. I have asked you to put the microphone in front of the guest on many, many, many occasions. It has not happened on many, many, many occasions. When I then ridicule you on the air for it, you take that as disrespect. I don't look at that as disrespect. I look at that as a criminal saying the cops are disrespecting him by arresting him. Well, you shouldn't have committed the crime. You're getting the disrespect because you've neglected to do something I've asked for over and over and over again pertaining to the microphone. Thus, the disrespect comes.
Okay, so then can I disrespect you for you forgetting things over and over and over again?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, great.
But I'm just saying...
But he won't get mad like you did.
We don't have to... I have many things on my plate, as do you, but I'm allowed to forget things.
Okay. I'm going to remind you to pick up the phone and talk to the mayor.
All right.
Let's do that.
All right, Angie, so you think you're on my side on this one.
On this one, yes, I'm on your side. And I'm not always on your side, but this
and
one...
And let me ask you this, too. Yes. Have I yelled at Breska off the air about it, or had any tantrums or tirades or anything?
That's why I'm shocked that this little thing is bothering him
so much.
No,
you know what it is? You're right. It's over
It's a buildup of disrespect.
I'm just tired of it. I'm not going to put up with it. I don't need to put up with it, actually.
Okay. Right. Now, let me ask you, again, I'm not the greatest boss, but has there been, I don't think there's been a lot of finger pointing and name calling or any of that stuff toward
you. I let a lot go by, and I don't remember instances, but I let a lot go by, and I'm just...
But you guys are here in the room or in the other room every time I'm here, and every time Breska and I are here, we don't have conversations, you know, at lunchtime alone, where I dig into them and tear them a new one. Are you unusually tough on Breska?
No, it's usually just little things. It's just a lot of little things.
All right. But little things that are like, hey, we got to get this guy, or we got to remember to do this, or we got to do that.
Can we just move on with the show? Because now we're really late.
But here's what
I'm
saying.
That's the other thing, how we go late and we miss breaks.
All right. But
so
it's,
I'm reminding
it's,
you, let's move on
but
with
let
the
me,
show.
But let me tell you this, Breska. I know you don't like this, but it is the nature of this game. We're not going to discuss after the show all that went right with the show. We're going to say, I needed the card on this.
That.
I needed to get the mic in front of that.
I agree. Yeah. And after the show, I'm fine, too. On the air, I'm not as fine with it.
It's not bad. There's still
because
a little
here's the thing,
bit
I would,
that goes on
here's
the air.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't disrespect. Yes. Plus, you know, like, look, my wife listens. Would I disrespect you in front of your wife? No.
Yeah, but what are we talking about? The 40s in Chicago? We're in the mafia? We're doing a goddamn morning show. Jesus Christ.
I understand
that.
That's why I wanted to talk to you off the air.
All right.
I'd like, you know what I'd like? I'd like to see a handshake. And an apology.
A hug,
please.
Maybe a hug.
Just a handshake will do.
Listen, Breska, I know you're from the streets. You're a proud man. You're not used to this pace.
I love the joking part of it. When Dave rips me and makes jokes, I laugh. I think they're funny.
Right.
It's the malicious, angry.
Yes,
you
it's
know,
the vitriolic, hate-filled venom that
it's
comes
not that
that comes showering your direction every break.
That's an exaggeration. It's
all
just
right.
It's just the it's a different thing.
Now, where's the handshake? Let's
right.
make peace
right.
and move forward.
Dave, how say you? Do you experience this?
What do I sense
me digging into Breska?
No, I have to say no. I mean, listen, in the context of him doing it to all of us, you know, then no. He makes his jokes, you know. They're digs.
All right.
To make himself feel better. No, he does. This is what he does. He makes jokes
really
about all of us.
All right,
that's
you're right. All right, now we have to take a break. Let me just say hi to the mayor. I feel bad. Mayor Barry?
Yes.
Barry the mayor?
Breska needs a cigarette.
Sorry.
we had
a little blowout here in the studio. I'm really sorry.
No problem.
Now we have to take another commercial because
this is what he does. He makes jokes about
all
to the
mayor. You're right.
All
right. Now we have to take a break.
Let me just
say
hi
to the mayor. Can you do that?
Can you
Mayor Barry?
Yes.
Thank you. Barry the mayor? 5 minutes.
Needs a cigarette.
I will call you Your Highness if you hold.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Highness. All right. That is the mayor of Calabasas who's outlawed smoking, essentially. I want to get into him about that, many of his other policies, and all that coming up after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, His Highness, the mayor of Calabasas, is on the phone. He is Mayor Barry Groveman. Mayor?
Yes,
Your
thank
Highness.
You, Adam. I enjoyed listening to your debate on respect.
Thank you. I'll try to show you the same respect my producer showed me. Maybe even more. Here's the thing. You're the mayor of Calabasas, beautiful city right outside of Los Angeles. Calabasas, if people are listening from around the country, take about secondhand smoke. Gotcha. The Calabasas, about 20 minutes, half hour out of Los Angeles, if there's not too much traffic. Probably about, what do you say, about 20 miles or so out of Los Angeles, 25 miles?
That's correct.
It's beautiful, sort of up north, but gets a nice beach breeze coming over the hill there every once in a while. Now, the mayor has passed the toughest ordinance that prohibits no smoking in all public places. Places include parks, outdoor cafes, sidewalks, and bus stops. And you can't smoke in the car if the windows are open and someone else is affected, meaning if a guy pulls up next to you in a moped and you have your window open, you have to close your window and smoke in your car, correct?
Well, let me correct a few things. First of all, this was passed by a unanimous city council. I was one of the members of the council. Mm-hmm. This is also not a ban on smoking. What makes this unusual and effective is that this allows people to smoke, but it is a public health law that limits public exposure to secondhand smoke. So yes. What it does is it starts to recognize the right of somebody to breathe safe, clean air by stopping people from further smoking in doorways, garages, entrances to public buildings, outdoor seating areas, mm-hmm. movie theaters, coffee shops.
Yes.
These are places that people must go. Yes. We didn't say you can't smoke. We simply said, would you mind
you can't
smoking
do it
in
anywhere.
A designated area?
Right. They didn't say you can't smoke. You just can't do it anywhere.
No, you can do it in designated areas, not
right.
unlike
on
a
the
terminal
mode.
In an airport. And
right.
I think the question,
yes.
though,
yes.
if you want to get serious about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I am.
The question is, do we accept the public health implications of secondhand smoke, which are now, in 2006,
mm-hmm.
irrefutable.
Yes.
And you have to be able to also acknowledge that 2 weeks after we passed this, the State of California Air Resources Board, in an unprecedented step, listed secondhand smoke as a dangerous air contaminant.
Yes.
And indicated that their reasons for doing that was because the 800 studies and all the leading experts provided information that was irrefutable that this is one of the leading causes of preventable death.
Yes.
So yes,
secondhand smoke.
That's right.
That's complete nonsense, obviously.
How do you know that?
I'll tell you why. I worked with a doctor for 10 years, and I used to pass the billboards that Rob Reiner put up that said 55,000 Americans die every year of secondhand smoke. Well, the doctor, Dr. Drew, brought in an article from JAMA one day that suggests as many as 7 people may have died nationally last year of secondhand smoke. And I would just ask everyone, close your eyes, think about the famous actor, the relative, the loved one, the neighbor, the classmate that has passed away because of secondhand smoke. Hold on. Let's just wait a second. You do the same thing, Mayor. Everyone close your eyes. Now picture yourself watching the news. The great actor. The great musician.
Adam.
The politician. Hold on. The family member. The school teacher. The cousin. The brother. The sister. The neighbor. Close your eyes. Who's been snatched away prematurely by secondhand smoke?
Adam, first
hold
of all,
on. Give it a thought. Okay, do you have anybody you know?
Probably Dana Reeve is one we can start with.
Oh,
and
that's
I would,
right.
I would also point, and I can, if we have time, I'm happy to get into that. There's also an
do you know Dana Reeve?
There's an extraordinary rise. I'll answer that one second.
Yes.
There's an extraordinary rise in asthma in kids. And here's really the question.
That's right, because they're
but
home.
If I get a chance to finish.
Go
you know,
ahead.
You talked a few
all right, so
ago.
You came up with Dana Reeve. That's the only one you came
let
up
me,
with.
Adam,
and
if I could.
But can I ask you this?
You can't shout over it.
Can I ask you this?
Really
can
it.
I ask you a question about Dana Reeve? Does it say on her death certificate secondhand smoke?
If you'll let me answer the question. First of all, I respect where you're coming from.
All right.
It's interesting that while I was waiting, your discussion was all about respect. All I'm saying is that, first of all, the chief physician, the chief clinical oncologist at Cleveland Cancer Institute discussed issues like Dana Reeve when he pointed out that cigarette smokers have lesser risk than non-smokers. And the reason is that when you breathe from a hot plume of a cigarette, the heat causes a reflex in the lung and you cough, preventing the smoke from going very deep. When you're a bystander, you're breathing it at room temperature, the reflex is absent, and they're finding that it's very deep in lung tissue. He suggested, she was not his patient, he suggested that because she was a singer and frequently exposed to smoke in bars, that was a very likely cause.
Yeah.
I point out that the real issue is let's
right.
be safe rather than sorry, because we don't think it's inconvenient to simply politely say, this is a question of respect,
yes.
you brought it up, which is, do you mind not smoking in the doorway where people must go? Do you mind not smoking in front of kids or people with asthma? We did this in a way that it's very respectful, and I would really ask this question. I hear all the hypotheses you're putting out, and I respect them.
Yes.
But my question is, why should we listen to, you know, your suggestions or your thoughts or what you assume when you're up against, and what we should really be listening to, is American Heart, American Lung Association, American Cancer,
yeah.
the chief cardiologist for Kaiser, the chief oncologist for places like the Cleveland Cancer Institute. They have no motive. They're
yeah.
not smokers.
No, their motive is, no, I will say this. Listen, I'm all in favor of getting people off the cancer sticks. It's what kills people. Their motive is to ultimately make people stop smoking cigarettes.
Right. That's a very pure motive. That's a very pure
right. your motive.
But let's not fudge the medical facts just because you have an agenda.
You have over 800 studies, and you know what? It's a great agenda. I'm really pleased to be part of a public health agenda, whereas the agenda that we seem to hear against us is either not informed or pro-tobacco or pro-cigarette sales on the Internet.
Your Highness.
Or try to promote cigarettes to kids.
Your Highness, let me bring up an example for a second, though. And here's why this is dangerous, fudging the medical facts. As we all know, if you ask anyone in the medical field, if 40,000 or 55,000 Americans die of secondhand smoke every year, they'll laugh their ass off because, of course, it doesn't exist. Like I said, the JAMA article suggested that maybe as high as 7 people died. And when I spoke to my friend, physician, board-certified physician, Dr. Drew, he laughed when I said that and said he's never heard of it and never treated anyone for it. So, figures aside, here's what happens. It's the same thing you do with AIDS. A few years back, when they're talking about AIDS, they say anyone can catch AIDS. No, this is not a gay disease. It's heterosexual. It transcends all genders, all whatever. We make it for everybody, and then it loses its teeth.
Adam, when you have a debate like this in just a few minutes and people are listening and trying to sort it out, the only thing you can really do is rely on symbols. And so I respect what you're saying, but I'm proud to be with the symbols of credibility that I have, American Heart, Lung. Yours are speculation. And I think when it comes to public health, you know, if you want, bring experts on and let us debate them. But we're standing with symbols of credibility and health. You're talking about hypotheses and interesting
ideas.
Let me give you an idea.
Let me tell you something. If you believe in global warming, right?
Correct.
I can produce 100 scientists that tells you it doesn't exist.
But I don't want to change.
But they're scientists. They're experts.
I'm not here to talk about.
Well, see, now when it goes against you, you don't believe the scientists.
No, I think you're just going to a different subject.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I can produce 100 scientists that tell you there's no global warming. So
but
what about
I'm only
it?
Telling you all I'm trying to say, and I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
I understand skepticism, and it's correct. It's appropriate to be skeptical. But I think it's now 2006. The evidence is overwhelming. And listen, if you have to decide where you want to come down, folks like American Heart and Lung and all of the oncologists are the ones that we should be guided by on such a serious issue.
Right, but here's the point, though. You've just conceded, though, that the ulterior motive of all the oncologists and people who are anti-smoking is to weed people off of smoking cigarettes.
That's not an ulterior motive. That's a noble motive.
No, it is a noble. I absolutely agree.
But
that
you're
people
lying
are fooling.
To get your motive
people
across.
Are foolish if they decide to smoke cigarettes
you'd only be not telling the truth if you were banning things, but the bottom line is
you're essentially
not,
but this is
no,
a, but
not.
You're trying to drive them out, which means in turn you're legislating
where,
against personal freedom. That's
where,
that's
right.
The upshot.
Where in this good discussion, where is your discussion for those people that want to breathe safe, clean air? They seem to be absent from the dialogue.
Safe, clean air, please.
And let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Regardless of whether we agree on whether the extraordinary rise in asthma among kids is related to secondhand smoke, we don't have to get to that.
Of course it isn't.
Question.
People used to smoke more, for
Fine,
Christ's
but
sake.
Let me ask you
so
this question.
How do you do that math?
Well, if I could talk for one
half
second.
The country smoked and none of the kids had asthma, so how do you do the math?
The question is this.
Please.
This is what our ordinance is aimed at.
Yes.
Regardless of what caused it, we still have a lot of kids and a lot of folks in society that are hypersensitive to smoke.
Yes.
Don't they have a right to go to public buildings and stand outside?
Well, I'm
this
glad. Of course they
right.
do. Of course they do. And that's why, first off, people standing 20 feet away from you smoking doesn't make a difference. It's
How
not going to cause
that?
Asthma.
You're not a scientist. What's your evidence? Tell me what your evidence is.
I have eyeballs and ears. I see what goes on.
Well, I'd rather take the scientist because on public health, it's
people
better
used
to
smoke
safe.
On airplanes and kids didn't have
Adam,
asthma.
Adam, it's
yes.
better to be safe than sorry.
All right,
you know
but
that.
Listen, everybody hides behind this, and it is taking away from everyone's civil liberties.
We put this in broad daylight. We're not
no,
hiding.
What I mean is you hide behind the cloak of public safety, and everyone applauds.
What a wonderful cloak to be behind.
Oh, yeah, but let me tell you the problem with it. It enables people. We're turning into a litigious, frivolous
There's
society.
No frivolous. There's no litigation here. This is all going to be done by cooperation like it is in
Somebody can tell you to put your cigarette out at the park, and if you don't, you're going to get a ticket.
Why do the
What kind of bizarre Orwellian nightmare have we entered?
Why does the Chamber of Commerce and the Restaurant Association support what we did as a strike?
Because you
balance?
Strong-armed them, that's why.
Well,
the rest.
I don't think
the Yes,
because
of
you
course.
Think, but because
you told
think
them you're
going
to send
righteous.
The health inspector down to close them down if they didn't agree with you.
Because you've decided that it would be good for people not to smoke cigarettes because this is a righteous cause does not mean to talk about hiding behind a cloak. Now it's you're allowed to take away people's right to do what they please with themselves when it doesn't hurt anyone other than
you're
themselves.
Creating a,
you don't have to yell. I hear it. All I'm saying
it's my only way.
He can't help it.
No, but I just wanted to add that, you know, during your commercial break, you had a commercial promoting affordable health care for kids. It was on your commercial break.
Well, I'm going to pull that one.
Then go ahead and pull it. But that's what you need to do if you allow kids to continue to get exposed to secondhand smoke.
Yes.
You'll have to pull health care insurance.
Right. But again, you never did. You never did do the math where more Americans smoked 50 years ago and less kids had asthma.
Adam, I just want to ask that.
Well, what about that math?
In fairness to the discussion you started with,
you can't do that math for us?
In respect,
yes.
Tell me who the symbols, everybody that debates us, has a tobacco related motive.
Yes.
I'm proud to be with a health related group of folks.
I'm happy to be with Americans who enjoy their civil liberties.
But
and who are tired. Let me finish. Who are tired of victims taking over our society. Are tired of being threatened and sued if we do anything.
But don't invoke civil liberties. Let me tell you why. There is no right that harms somebody else. And if you go on the website, Civil Liberties Union, they don't oppose actions like this.
Yeah, because they're left-wing pussies, that's why.
Because they know that no right extends to the harm of somebody else.
Yes. Once you've established a harm, you've not really established that. That's the only problem.
Think by way of symbols in this discussion, I think I've made the point that I stand with the symbols of public health.
I just asked you why more people have asthma now that less people smoke, and you can't answer that. So I don't think you made your point at all.
People with smoke are exposed to, well, there's a lot of factors, but secondhand smoke is clearly one of them.
Yeah, no. it's clearly at the bottom of the list.
Why wouldn't we as a society?
Give me a number. How many people die? How many people die each year of secondhand smoke? Give me your number.
I can only tell you that the one of the directors of the American Heart Association, who testified before us in the hearings, told us this ordinance was going to save thousands and thousands of lives.
Justin Calabasas?
No, because of the secondary goal. I mean, to tell people that they can't smoke outside ultimately will get people to stop smoking cigarettes.
Right.
That's what will save lives.
Yeah, but
possibly.
In all fairness, I don't argue that there is a relationship between the overall habit and the problem. I mean, can you name one other product? Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
One other product on the face of the earth that when you use it as indicated, it kills you. So we have a tremendous...
Well, listen, junk food will kill you. You can go get a fifth of tequila at the liquor store and go to the Big Five and get a crossbow and kill yourself.
And let's do nothing to protect public health and soaring health care costs.
Well, let's wrap everybody... And by the way, soaring health care costs, let me tell you something. My grandfather was a smoker. He had a big heart attack when he was like 68, and the doctor told him, quit those cigarettes, otherwise you'll have another massive heart attack and you won't see 70. So he quit, and he made it to about 94, except for he cost Kaiser Permanente, by the way, not a great name to tack on to your hospital. Permanente, never going to leave. But the point is he cost them another $500,000 by going in and out of the hospital for the next 20 years. Would have been cheaper if he just had the coronary and died when he was 70.
See, but Adam, I understand that there's skepticism and humor in what you're in the show. I'm trying to bring a serious subject to the issue.
Yeah, well, I'm serious.
That's not a good model. I don't want my son or
why
any
not?
Other kid
if he would have died, it would have been cheaper.
I don't want my son or any other kid in the next generation lying in a hospital with lung cancer. We need to do the best we can.
It's the fastest form of cancer death. Why not get rid of them? Yeah,
well,
otherwise,
you go
in your 90s and you cost millions.
And I would add that what I think we did right, and the reason we have the support of businesses and the restaurant association, is we struck a balance. We didn't ban it. We don't stop it.
But
right.
Come on, it's a
struck
first
a balance.
Step. It's a step towards
right.
ultimately banning
no, this
it.
Is
yes.
A step towards elevating respect and making it acceptable to say, would you mind putting it out or going to an approved area like you do at the
all
airport?
All right, listen, you guys start building your smokers' gulags over there. I'm going to Canada.
Okay.
All right. Mayor Barry Grobman, by the way.
Well informed, at least. I disagree with him entirely, but.
Yeah. They're just tired of
he was a stout debater with you, Carolla.
He was.
You must tip your hat to
a
him.
A worthy adversary. Although I do feel like I could take his job. I mean, there's no doubt I could take his job, right? I could get on this radio and beg for votes.
This is
be the mayor of Calabasas.
This thing drives me crazy. It's the same thing in South Dakota. It's people's own self-righteousness, their own piety that lets them dictate what other people should do with themselves.
Right.
You have to carry that baby to term. Heaven forbid that you smoke those cigarettes. Hey,
right.
Under the cloak.
Now, of course, the guys on the left, like the mayor, Mayor Barry. We'll call him Mayor Barry. Mayor Barry over here would probably be indignant about the folks over there in the Dakota saying you got to carry the baby. What right do you have to tell this mother? What right do you have? Last I checked, we're living in the U.S. of A. where people had the right to make up their own, but has no qualms about adding another $3 to the pack of cigarettes and telling people they can smoke on top of the flagpole in the center of town. All right, interesting. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Deaf Rat Guy. That frat guy coming in after this.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. Well, he likes chicks, sorority girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up. Hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a deaf rat guy.
Maverick.
Deaf rat guy.
Chick.
Deaf rat guy.
Maverick.
That's right. Maverick. You know Miss Jason. Deaf rat guy. Fifth-year senior out of USC. Over at the Teak House.
In the house.
Good to see you, Maverick.
What's up, bro?
Maverick is just finishing a heralding ordeal called Spring Break. A lot of the ladies went out to New Orleans to go ahead and help with the cleanup and the Katrina disaster, but not Maverick. No way.
Screw that, bro. Spring Break is a time to let your hair down.
Yeah, so he went to Mexico, ran into some trouble, I guess, when Moose was throwing beer bottles off the balcony of the hotel into the pool, or what happened?
He was breaking beer bottles. But it's just Moose being Moose.
Right. You guys got busted by the federales. Next thing you know, you had to cop your airplane tickets and drive all the way to Havasu.
We took the bus from Cabo all the way to Tijuana, where we were picked up by Poochie's uncle.
Right.
Who took us to a houseboat on Havasu.
What a guy, by the way.
The Poochie's a really cool guy.
No, I mean his uncle. I mean,
cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Maverick's last. This is his fifth and last spring break. He wanted to do it right, so it was nice of Poochie's uncle to help out with that, right?
I just want to say something to recap.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember spring break, you weren't there.
All right, important message for the kids. The point is spring break is now over. He's a fifth-year senior. He's going to be graduating soon. What's your major?
Well, I'm communications major.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he has a communications major. He's thinking about getting into radio. We're always looking for talent over here. We are trying out at different positions. He did some traffic. He did some weather for us. Now, today, you're going to do the stock market report?
Yeah. So that.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, give us a shot and see how that goes. And if it works out, you know, maybe you can get a position here.
I really need a job.
Well, when Brusca leaves, there'll be an opening.
I said that I would be employed by the spring formal.
Okay.
And it's right around the corner.
All right.
Anyway, today, the NASDAQ is up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, up. S&P 500 is down. Shares of Apple, down. Cisco Systems, down. Google, down. Intel, up. Yahoo, up. Qualcomm is down. Dell, up.
So these are ones where stocks are going up, stocks are going down.
Cisco Systems is going off the hook. How do I know? Mike F. owns a bunch of shares in it. He knew a long time ago. Now he's making ducats.
Oh, really? Is Mike F's doing good?
Look, the guy drives a Beamer.
Wow. And not the 318, the 325i. So, hey, is there any more information you have other than just sort of up and down?
Well, there was an investors, there was a rally, but investors' indecision put the rally on pause.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's noted.
And just, you know, go out, do, you know, buy stocks to help the economy again.
All right.
That's good.
All right, so we should buy America. All right. Anything else? What about the future? What do you think?
Dude, invest in beer, booze, and condoms, because the third annual Pimp and Hole Party is coming right up.
And you're saying they're going to be going like hotcakes, huh?
Boom. It's going to be off the hook. We are going to rage. It's to celebrate our buddy Kochburger getting out of rehab.
What's he in for, booze or pot?
Well,
oh, I see, Kochburger, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to pick him up at rehab, and he had three words for us. Bring the funnel.
They're saying Kochburger has been in rehab for a number of weeks. You guys are picking him up later today or next week? Or when you pick up Kochburger?
The party is in 8 days. Plenty of time to buy shares in booze stocks, beer, and condom.
Right. So when you pick up Kochburger, he wants to do a beer bong in the car.
Kochburger is not going to be... You can't... You...
Yeah,
you can only hope to contain him.
Right, I understand. I see. I would argue he's still not sober if he's doing beer bongs. You know, even though he's off the coke, his drug of choice, still, if he's doing beer bongs, probably not something one of his counselors would be happy to hear about.
He says it's all good as long as he's not putting the Bolivian Martin powder up his schnoz.
Okay, I didn't know that stuff still going around campus, huh? The blow.
Well, Kochburger. You know, he liked to do it. I can't really comment on it.
Okay, I understand. All right, listen. Yes, Def Recca.
There's some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Moose took 10 Viagra and torn the connective tissue between his dong and his body.
Wow. Those ligaments in there are pretty delicate, yeah. Wow.
Def Recca.
How does that affect the market, though?
Well... Good. Maybe, I don't know, but Ashley, the Trident,
right?
Her grandfather is the guy that invented those styrofoam packing peanuts.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is this Ashley, the one that looks like Misha Barton?
Yeah, the one who's the Trident.
Oh, okay, not the one.
No, there's another Ashley, the one who shaved down below.
Right. Not that one.
No.
Okay. All right, so her grandfather invented packing peanuts.
She's loaded, dude.
Okay, well, let me just say this, because we got to take a break, Mav.
Blake Chambers banged her.
Okay.
Rush chairman from...
Screw Blake Chambers.
He's a good-looking guy, though.
He's a Fiji?
Screw him. He left us high and dry in Cabo.
Was he a Sammy or Fiji, or what was he?
He's a Fiji, but then who cares? Blake Chambers is just an enriched jerk.
All right.
And Ashley, you should be able to see through him.
He gets the girls, though.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
of course he does. He's really good looking and rich. And he's the social chairman of the Fiji House. But Ashley, if you're listening, go out with... Dude, I have so much more to offer than him.
All right, but listen.
I could drink him under the table.
Maverick, let me just reel you in for a second and say, you know, we'd really like you to be part of the show. I like the contributions you make. But as you graduate and as we get into the day-to-day dealings of the show, we're just going to need the market report or the traffic or the weather, all the sort of sidebar stuff with Ashley shaved downstairs and Tridelts and Fijis. You know, we need to sort of pull you out of the fraternity house a little and just have you focus on business. When Dave does his sports, he doesn't work in his college. Maybe that's a bad example. The point is it's not all about fraternities and beer bongs. It's about the market report.
Long T bonds have changed, are down 3% since last year.
All right, there you go. Nice job. Nice job.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I have an idea for a new product.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're surfing the net or typing a term paper?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be a really cool idea to put like an infrared frame around the computer so you can tan while you're using it.
Oh, you get your face tan, yeah.
To get that Saint-Tropez tan while surfing the net or writing that term paper.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for it?
I think like tan... on the net or something. I don't have any,
right,
but
right.
I was really wasted. I thought of it, and everyone's like, dude, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And Pucci is a business major.
Right.
Right. Well, let me say this. Maybe we could, you know, I'd like to see something work out here for Maverick. Maybe this leads to next week. He could be like our tech advisor.
Yeah.
He could do
all right. Yeah, why don't you give
it,
give a tech report next week, all right?
And, dude, I just wanted to say that the third annual Pimp and Hole Party is coming up. It will be off the hook.
All right. Thank you. Def Rat Guy, Maverick.
Late.
Late, dude. We got to take ourselves a little break. David Koechner, you know him from, you know him as Champ from the Anchorman movie. Also, thank you for not smoking. And also, coming up on Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector. Talk to him after this.
Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, quiet, Damashek. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. David Koechner here. You would definitely recognize him. Champ from Anchorman, that's how I recognize him. Also, Waiting is out on DVD. Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, coming out. Thank You for Smoking, out in limited release, and getting rave reviews, by the way, from everyone who sees it.
Yeah, it's a good film.
All right, well, we'll see you later.
That's it. Thanks for having
Thanks for stopping by. Again, Waiting, out on DVD. David Koechner, everybody. You know him as Champ. Good to see you.
I only speak in three-word sentences. Whoops.
So, first off, you look trim. Have you lost weight since you 3 years ago filming The Anchorman?
Yes, I have lost weight.
All right. Anything?
You want to know the truth?
What?
I quit drinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's sad all around.
What gives?
You know, I got a wife and two kids and two on the way, so I have to live.
Twins.
Twins.
Oh. Well, I got twins on the way, too.
Do you? When?
Beginning. Well, here's the whole thing. It's supposed to be the beginning of the beginning of June, first week or so in June, but the way my wife's moving, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to take them out with like a melon baller this weekend because I can't take it anymore.
That's funny. You know what?
Yes.
Ours are due the first week of June.
Wow.
You know what I see?
What do you see?
Best friends.
Yes. That's right. Me and you leaving our families and becoming best friends. Doing the radio show from an island. Hey, guess who's on again today, fellas? You know him from Anchorman, David Koechner.
We're here talking about our twins. We've never met. As soon as they were born, we took off.
I'll tell you, we're going to have fun, though. We're going to have the prize patrol van go by the house and pick them up and see if we can tell them apart. His are the bald ones. Mine's are the drinkers.
What are you having, boys, girls?
Got a boy and a girl.
Same.
Really?
Wow.
Yep. Well, that's
crazy,
it.
Yeah.
And you live out here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I live in the hipster part of town. It's called the Valley.
Whoa, man, yeah.
A lot of people think Echo Park, Los Feliz.
No.
There's a bunch of hippies over there.
No. Yeah, no.
Hipsters.
People think people think that you have to go down to Silver Lake and hang with the swishy boys and all the guys on the vanguard of society. No, no. You go out to Sherman Oaks, you want to hang with the hipsters.
That's where it gets real.
Yeah,
keep it real. You change some diapers, wipe some noses, get in an argument with a six-year-old, and lose. That's real.
Is your wife... Now, pardon me for asking, but is your wife sane? Because I've found the real problem with a lot of these situations is I like the guy just fine, we're thick as thieves. You know this, Damashek, from hanging around our various friends and their various wives. The guys get along just great. The ladies don't seem to get along too well. There's some sort of territorial problem. Maybe women in general. I don't know if it's the competition or what, but it prevents you from going out as couples because the ladies don't want to hang out. And then they do this thing. You're going to go out with Dave. You guys are going to sit together and start talking sports. I'm going to be sitting across from Connie and have nothing to discuss. And you're going to, you know that? Is your wife cool?
My wife's the coolest. She'd probably be hanging with the guys if the ladies don't suit her.
Oh, really?
And the guys would be happy about it.
All right. So we're going to have twins at the same time.
Yes.
We live probably 2-3 miles apart from each other.
Yep.
I'm an old Valley guy.
Nice.
I know the terrain.
Are you in the SO?
I could show you my old shakes.
I love it. Oh, wait. With the show at the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's North Hollywood.
You.
That was me.
That was really?
Yeah.
We're very close.
Yes, I grew up in North Hollywood.
You grew up over there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're hanging.
We are, wow, this is great. I came to do a little radio show to plug some movies, and I developed a lifelong friendship.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's going to go on for life as long as your career keeps moving forward. Well, let's be honest. I don't want to be hanging out with the bald guy. I want to be hanging out with the guy from the movies.
Right.
Right.
Well, Mrs. Keckner, I'm sure, is cool. She's not the problem. It's this teetotaler.
Right, it's me.
Oh, he stopped boozing.
Dude, I can still hang, though. I'm still a lot of fun.
You're going to have to start slamming heroin or doing something. You're going to need to be altered.
If you got to
sniff glue, I don't know what you got to do, but you're going to have to do something when we go out.
I think it's called huffing glue, isn't it?
Yeah, huff.
Actually, I have several paper bags at home.
Good.
And so I go to modeling stores.
Hyperventilate and suck up some of that adhesive.
Yes.
All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. David Keckner, my new best friend. I'm going home with you after the show, by
this
the way.
Exciting.
I don't want us to drift apart. Larry the Cable Guy coming out. Thank you for smoking. Already out. Waiting. Out on DVD. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with him. We'll be back with news. We'll be back with sports. Ozzy is with his translator, with his speech and diction coach, memorizing the phrase that pays. All that coming up.
Hi, this is Stewie Griffin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
David Keckner here. You know him as Champ from Anchorman.
Love has blossomed in this studio.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. We have twins, a boy and a girl, both coming about 10 days apart. Do you have the Champ clip ready
from
Anchorman?
I will smash your face into a car windshield and then take your mother, Dorothy Mantooth, out for a nice seafood dinner and never call her again.
That's just unkind, right?
Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector, is one of his latest projects, along with Thank You for Smoking and also Waiting. Out on DVD.
If you haven't seen Waiting, so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting, disturbing, and it's hysterical.
Takes place in the restaurant, right?
Yeah. Very funny.
Directed by the very capable Rob, I call him Bob McKittrick.
Yes, I know him as Bobby, but we're close. Now, we started about 3 hours ago playing Name That Tool. Someone's been on hold for an hour wanting to fire up a power tool into the phone, and then I have to guess what tool it is. David's a bit of a tool guy as well. Yes, you say you're doing addition at your home?
Yeah, I'm building. I'm having a guest house built. I'm
sure.
No Corolla when it comes to swinging a hammer, but I can bust my thumb as good as the next guy.
Well, why don't you bust your brain? Let's listen. Steve?
Hey, good morning, Adam. How are you?
All right, now you have a handheld power tool.
Yeah, there's no cheap shot here. This is handheld, and it is a power tool.
All right, fire it up.
All right, here we go.
That was a belt sander.
Adam, that is a Power Glide 3/8-inch drill plugged into the wall.
Do it again. It's the way it... Yeah, yeah, it's the way it spooled down that made me think it was a belt sander.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm two. What am
50%.
I? 50%. I was 2 for 3 before, and now I'm 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do I get the Hooters gift certificate?
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, and can I plug my website, rockabook.net?
No.
No.
You
can't. Get another tool and plug it in.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Wow. It's tough. 3/8 drill.
I was going to guess a handheld lathe.
Yeah. Except for they don't exist.
Yeah.
But other than that, would have been a good guess. Well, that's how you know the show's done live, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd taped it earlier, we would have cleaned that up and edited
You're
it.
You're a
so
fallible
came out
man.
On top.
You're a man, flesh and blood, and ultimately it makes you more endearing, Adam.
Thank you, Dave. Play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with you later off the air. Speaking of Dave, David, now Larry the Cable Guy comes out March 24th.
Mm-hmm.
That's
this weekend, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Friday.
I know my tools and my calendar.
But it did gangbusters over the weekend, right? In small
it was limited release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for smoking.
Thank you for smoking. Did gangbusters the limited release?
It did.
Release, right?
Apparently, 52,000 per screen average.
Oh. I don't know what that means, but a lot, right?
Yeah, apparently it's sold out all the time.
Yeah,
terrific.
Yeah.
Well, they do the per screen average, and I guess it was exceedingly high. I guess it was the highest of the weekend, $52,000 per screen, and now you're going to spread it out. I'm guessing you started in the blue states, and now you start spilling into the red ones.
Yeah, we're just going to educate the masses.
You want to talk about range, though? You could really divide the country in half. The folks that want to see the Larry the Cable guy movie and the ones who want to see Thank You for Smoking. I mean, if you really, really think about it, when two people are going to the movies and one guy's from a blue state and the other guy's, blue, you know, red state, one's a Republican, one's Democrat, and it keeps going, those are the two movies at the other end of the spectrum they're going to. But who's going to bridge that gap?
It's going to be me.
That's right.
That's right.
And
that's
maybe, right. Maybe with this love affair that you two have begun, maybe he'll take you with him, Ace.
Wow. I'll tell you, well, we've got to hang. So, you're going to hang with us while we do the news, while we do the sports.
I'm never leaving. I thought right. I was on staff now. No?
Well, who's going to tell our wives? That's the real question.
I think we should sit them down mm-hmm. and say, enjoy raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
We'll drop by in about 16 years.
Right.
But we will be in touch on the radio.
Right. And here's the other thing, too. I you know... Kids deserve to hear the truth, but not until they're in their 30s.
Right.
So, as far as they know, we were fighter pilots who died in the original campaign. Over
together.
Yes. Yes. I was Maverick and you were Goose.
I would love to be Goose. Thank you.
We were flying F-14s over Bazlagabad, and we had to punch out at about 18,000 feet. Your head clipped the canopy, and they never found me. That way I can come back. You know what I mean?
So then I get found 5 years after you do.
Right.
And then they make a movie based on our lives.
That's right.
I
that's
like
right.
It.
And we tell them the only thing that kept us going was the memory of you as we looked at the picture that you keep inside your
right.
your multiple pockets and your jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we've just been banging co-eds the entire time and doing keg stands with that frat guy.
All the while insisting our wives remain loyal.
Yeah.
Men. Horrible men.
We got it all worked out. Now, I'll tell you what. Since I'm up on the hill and you're down in the valley, why don't you relocate up to my place? I got a hot tub.
Nice.
A fitting perch.
Yeah, I'll send my lady down the hill to shack up with you.
Very good.
And your old lady, and you come on up to my place.
I like it.
Plenty of room.
Let the gals have it.
Yeah, bring the pets. I'm not allergic to anything.
I mean, we can't do anything right anyway.
That's right. Actually, I did find one thing I'm allergic to. Not having a good time. It's good stuff.
I just fell off the wagon.
Yeah, that's right. Gonna start boozing or huffing. Well, we got it all planned out. And I'll tell you what, hopefully the ladies are listening, and it's going to save us an uncomfortable conversation.
Very nice. If not, they can hear it on a replay.
That's right.
A tape I want you to listen to, baby. Listen to this in the car with the kids.
That's right. All right. Well, hang out, David, because we'll need you during the news and the sports. And Angie Fitzsimmons is filling in for Rachel Perry, by the way, for one more day. And here she is with the news.
President Bush spoke at a press conference this morning, saying that he believes we'll succeed in Iraq, and if we didn't, he would pull out the U.S. forces.
Mm.
Bush also talked about the war as we see it on TV.
The kind of progress that we and the Iraqi people are making in places like Tal Afar is not easy to capture.
Tal Afar would be a good place for us to punch out over.
Footage of children playing or shops opening will never be as dramatic as the footage of an IED explosion.
Yeah.
Sure, the evil media, of course, wants to misrepresent his wonderful actions over in Iraq.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the spin doctors right. over at CNN and Fox.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
All right, Tal Afar. That's right. Let's see. We took a hit from a ground to air.
Yeah,
hand a shoulder held.
Surface to air.
Stinger.
Yeah,
Stinger.
Ironically, acquired through back channels made in the U.S.
Right, right. That's the whole backstory. And here's the deal. Our wingman told us to punch out, but I thought we could land the aircraft. I said, no, I'm gonna drop this baby on its belly. And well, you know why?
I'm not gonna lose the American taxpayer the money.
That's what I was saying.
I'm gonna save this plane.
That's what I was saying. I don't want to ruin the plane for my boss. Who's my boss? 300 million American taxpayers
That's
back
right.
home. So I belly landed it out in the desert. We, unfortunately, because of the covert nature of our job, we were never had a homing beacon to take with us, and therefore they never looked for us. They never sent search planes. We're forced to live in the desert.
Yes. Amongst the Bedouin.
Amongst the Bedouin tribe and blend in. We had to blend with the Bedouin.
And who took to us, and we naturally became leaders of the small Bedouin tribe and sired many children.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know if we'll probably leave that part out. The point is we're heroes and we're back. And here's a soccer ball. Let's kick it around, son. Let's go out to Hooters. I'll give you a first shot.
Dad, I'm 35.
Well, the point is we're back, and I'm a hero. All right, that's
no,
good.
No, take care of me, son. I'm also infirm.
Yes, tattered jumpsuit. Sun bleached by the sun, yeah. All right, that's good. This is good stuff. I hope you're writing this down. We get on the same page. Where are we, Angie?
Right back to news. Celebrity news. Yeah. Kirstie Alley, she lost 60 pounds, looking good.
Mm.
She's talking about the type of man that she's looking for.
Mm. Men are sort of idiots. I'm not saying they all are. And I want to find the one who's not.
Oh, could you imagine the full-time gig it'd be going home to Kirstie Alley? That nut job.
She's
Scientologist,
like it,
weight
yeah.
issues, self-esteem issues, and an auctioneer's mouth. Attached to a big ass. That's what you want, a huge ass with the mouth of three guys moving cattle. Oh, my God. What a handful. All right.
Jennifer Love Hewitt has a stalker, but the police can't help her because the stalker is a ghost. Apparently, a kid who went to high school with her died, and when they went to his house, they found pictures of her all over his wall. And now she said she has a ghost. It's him, and
sure.
She's not afraid of him. She just thought that he doesn't belong there.
This whole ghost thing, we've turned into a science. Now every third episode of Entertainment Tonight, they're at the morgue with a James Von Prague, and he explains that he feels something, and there's definitely something in the room, and then some chick panics next to him. Please, everybody. They don't exist. These people are nuts. And these guys make a living from convincing you they exist.
Oh, she's hired a ghost whisperer to come to her house. And
wait, isn't she one?
Yeah.
She whispers at ghosts. She plays a ghost whisperer on TV, but now she's actually hired one.
Doesn't this smack of being manufactured maybe by the in-house publicity people?
Yes.
Saying, you know, ratings are down. You know what?
You need a ghost.
Maybe if you had a ghost.
That's right.
They've
done it for a long time. Batman, back in the 60s, they got Wally Cox a PT boat. The studio and told him to drive it around town. McHale's Navy. They would always do that, is what I'm saying. I know the reference is lost in the room, but the point is they would always want you to live your role.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. That's what we're doing with our new
story. But it calls into question her abilities, though.
Right.
If she can't get rid of this ghost, what help is she to anyone else with the ghost troubles?
Good point.
What year is it?
Doesn't lend credibility to the show. Here's the thing. Here's what hit me to the fact that it was a publicity stunt. The ghost was registered on MySpace. And he talked about the show.
Yeah, big fan.
Okay, right. And finally, a 70-
And by the way, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Let me ask you. Here's how you know ghosts don't exist. Ghosts are creepy, but they're no creepy ghosts. All the ghosts. What's the ghost? It's a little girl with blonde hair who's lost her dolly, and she keeps coming back to the house. La, 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 la. How come there's no biker ghost? There's no gay biker honcho ghost who likes to be a top. And he likes to nail people while they're asleep. That ghost doesn't exist. Who's your ghost? He's a gangbanger. Gay gangbanger biker was killed in the drive-by. Now he's angry. That's the ghost. It's always, oh, look at her. Who is her? She's wearing a wedding dress. She's a beautiful young woman who committed suicide on her wedding day. She's a little blonde girly who lost her dolly. It's never even, where are the scary ghosts? That's all I'm saying. That's how you know.
Yeah, this is just a boy who went to high school with her.
Biker sodomite obsessed. Ghost. Here's a ghost. Here's a ghost that likes anal penetration. He's a top, and he's got an axe to grind. And you've just moved in, and you sleep on your stomach.
Now, how do we make him a sympathetic character?
Well,
now he can be a ghost. A good we point. Can hold up.
First, let's get him out of the chaps and the leather vest. I think that's the first thing we do. Not everything's a movie, David. This is life. Gay biker, ghost life, not a movie. Thank you.
A 72-year-old man, he was busted last Friday masturbating in a library in Ohio.
There's a sitcom.
There's a ghost.
Yeah. He was wearing a dress.
Wow.
Wait, that's it? What was the shocking part? The dress?
He was wearing a dress. When the cops went to arrest him at his house, he decided to change into something a little bit more respectable.
Mm-hmm.
A flowered skirt, earrings, wig, and red high heels.
Well, I'll tell you, it takes all kinds.
What they didn't mention when they arrested him at his house, he was reading a library book.
Wow.
With a ghost.
Yeah.
He just got confused. He thought he was home masturbating.
Right.
When he was at the library.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I could masturbate at a funeral faster than I could squeeze one off at a library. I got to say, surrounded by all those books. I don't like reading. Last thing I read was the instructions of the TiVo. That was the last thing I've actually read. That's, now I'm set.
On TV
the
tonight?
More you know. Thank you.
On TV tonight, American Idol, 8 o'clock on Fox. Blowout starts. I know you love that show.
Oh,
season
that's
premiere,
my show. Yeah.
9 o'clock on Bravo.
Oh, what mischief will Jonathan get into this year? Blowhard should be the name of the show, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to be watching.
And The Amazing Race.
Until
10
your
o'clock.
Name goes on the shampoo, I don't think we're going to be making any changes because I demand the best because my name's on the shampoo. Oh, it's awesome. Watch Blowout, everybody.
9 o'clock on Bravo. I'm Angie, and that's your news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I will keep my comments brief so that the love affair can continue to blossom between you and David Koechner.
Nay, his name is Goose now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We right. punched out over Talalabad.
You think I could maybe hang out with you guys sometime?
I'm sorry. I don't think you're cut from that cloth. What about you, Dave?
I think you're right.
I mean, maybe you could hang out if my beer gets a little warm or goes flat and I need a cold one or Dave needs a little scalp polishing or something. But I don't know about hanging out.
How are your butler skills?
I'm going to press on.
Yeah, you can hang out with my gay ghost, maybe. High five, Dave. Oh, yeah.
Words hurt. NBA last night. Kobe scored 43 in Boston. His team won the boot. The crosstown rivals, not really crosstown rivals considering they play in the same building. It's neither here nor there. The Clippers, they won in Houston. They're doing very well. 13 over 500. That's the best they've ever been since they moved out to the West Coast. Terrell Owens, sure everybody knows by now, is now a Dallas Cowboy. Mm-hmm. And he's been so kind to take a parting shot at his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's done so through rap. Here's a little of that for you.
I'm back with a vengeance. I'm back on the mission. Got the recipe, bruh, so I'm back in the kitchen. Trying to take me out the game, people saying I'm missing. Got the whole world's uninvited attention. It's a brand new year, got a brand new team. I'm a cowboy now, no more black and green. And to the hater who said I wouldn't get my money, I'm laughing in your face, haha, that's funny.
Wow.
Is there anything he can't do?
Yeah, I think rap.
Wow, he's wonderful.
Maybe one.
And but I'll tell you what, this has incensed the city of Philadelphia and the Eagles organization and Eagles coach Andy Reid has fired back with a little number of his own.
Wow. It's Andy Reid.
This is war.
Wow.
Yeah.
A big bushy blonde mustache guy, the heavyset guy.
Well, you tick him off.
Wow.
His blood is
good.
Boiling.
That's nice.
This is going to be uglier than the East Coast-West Coast feud, I fear. Now, World Baseball Classic last night. The finals down in San Diego. Japan and Cuba. Japan won it 10-6. Nobody in America cares because, of course, we still are the third place finisher in our own continent after having been beaten by Mexico and Canada at baseball.
No.
The sport we invented.
Yeah.
By Canada.
Well, that's how you know baseball sucks. Because right. anybody can beat anyone at any time, and that's why they play 162 games or three games. I mean, come on. Who cares about baseball?
Well, there's now exhibition ball underway, and there's a little conflict between the Washington Nationals and Alfonso Soriano, who they picked up in the offseason. He was an all-star at second base for the Texas Rangers and for the Yankees. They want him to go out to the outfield. They already have a second baseman. Yesterday, at the start of the exhibition game, he refused to go out to left field.
Mm.
And so now they're deciding maybe they might have to void his contract, so on and so forth. Word is, discussions are underway for me to take over in left field.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Congratulations.
What are you talking about, Dave?
Discussions are underway.
Who's discussing that?
You and I are talking about it right now. That was a scene.
That was
scene.
And cut.
Nice. And blackout.
That's why you can't hang with me and David.
We don't do Jenner Theater.
That's right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Angie, you were terrific in the role of the skeptical sidekick.
Thank you.
Patrick?
Yes.
Do you, by the way, he claims to be your brother-in-law. David. Do you have a brother-in-law named Patrick?
Indeed, I do.
Wow. Patrick?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, hey, I was just curious if Dave was ready to make public his name that he had picked out for his son.
Ooh, what is that? What is it? And again, I don't want to step on you, but you might want to go the Sue route. You know, the boy named Sue, right? Because in the song, the man in black explains that he knew he wasn't going to be around.
Exactly.
As you know, we're going to be banging our way through Hollywood. That's right.
Telfar.
That's right. And you may give him a tough name. Yes.
I think he went military with it. I think he went something like first lieutenant or corporal or something like
that. Well, nice. Well, let's hear. What is it?
It changes day to day, Adam. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you guys had the same discussions. Mm-hmm. For a week, it was Rowdy.
Ooh.
You like that?
Rowdy Koeckner.
How about this one? Sergeant Koeckner.
Nice. That is good.
I wanted to name my first son Billion.
Billion Koeckner.
Middle name Dollar. Billion Dollar Koeckner. So by the time he got to college, what's your name? Billion. Come on.
Yeah.
Billion Dollar Koeckner. Here he comes.
Sarge Koeckner.
Well, Aces Corolla's passed on these, so I'll pass these on to you. It's unlikely I'm going to have twins. But boy and girl, this works. Pancake and Flapjack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you call Cake and Flap.
Nice. Yeah. Well, they'd be destined to be hobos because it's a great hobo name.
No. It is. Yeah.
Flap Koeckner is a cool guy.
That sucks.
And Cake Koeckner, Foxy.
Oh. I may lend him, you know, my wife has poo-pooed Clutch Corolla.
That's pretty
cool.
Which I like.
That's a shame. Clutch Koeckner. That's strong. I mean, there's a guy who's starting at shortstop for the high school team. Clutch Koeckner. That's one of those things where it's like, well, so what happens? You guys get suspended? Nah, Clutch Koeckner came through the very end. He bailed us out one more time. Clutch Koeckner's your buddy.
Yeah. Batting cleanup.
Clutch Koeckner! Clutch.
Clutch.
Yeah, Clutch or Sarge.
You don't lose. Did you really pitch Clutch and it didn't go?
Yeah, I'm still working on it, but like I said, hey, if you're in love with it, you can take Clutch, because it works nice with Koeckner. I'll tell you what, once you name the girl Sarge and the boy Clutch, either way, we're not going to be around to raise them, but I think those will be solid names.
Right, that's the least we can do for them.
Right. Now, hey, Patrick?
Yes, sir?
You are the brother of his wife, right? Of David's wife?
That's correct.
Yes.
I do not want you ratting us out to her, okay?
I think this has been beautiful. I think it's good for Dave. He's always kind of had these leanings, but until he met you.
Right.
You know, finally.
He could be my, I'll be his muse. He'll be my gay ghost.
Perfect. I'm going to get
you,
a bite.
Patrick.
See you, Pat.
All right. You guys get along? Everything
well.
Good? Does he bring anything to the table? Because my family, my own family as well, but also the family I married into, they bring nothing to the table.
Pat introduced me to...
oh, really?
Yes. So I kind of owe him my marriage.
Blessing and a curse. But what about, does he weld? Is he a plumber? You know what I mean? Does he do roofing? Does he do brake jobs on vans? You know what I mean? Does he bring anything to the table? What does he do?
Well, he brings an emotional value to the table. To hear me out. He brings toys to my kids every time he comes over, so he spoiled them rotten. They love Uncle Pat.
What does he do for a living?
He works at a law firm.
Mm. Is a lawyer?
Some kind of covert work, I believe.
No, he brings nothing. All right. We won't be hanging on him. We're going to have to clip all ties.
He's getting jettisoned?
Yes.
Pat, I tried.
Here, Pat, get in the pod. You will be jettisoned. I want to thank David Koeckner for coming in. This will not be the last we see of each other.
No.
Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector, coming out this Friday. Also, thank you for smoking out in limited release. But according to the critics, it's going to get bigger. And also, Waiting, very funny DVD, out as we speak. We will take a break. Ozzy's going to come back. He's going to do the phrase that pays with his speech therapist after this.
Listen up. You can hear the hair.
I do hair, man. That's what I do. Blowout on tonight. I'm excited. I'm addicted to this show. There's certain things you like, not because they're good. You just like them. Corn dogs, Twinkies. Twinkie's not a good pastry. It's not a good dessert. It's a Twinkie.
But delicious.
Delicious. You like it. You crave it. That's how I am with Blowhard. I mean, Blowout. All right, Diana Jelinek. Jelinek is here. She's 9 months pregnant.
To the day.
She's due today. And yet, you come in and you persevere. Why? Because you love Oswaldo and you hate butchering of the English language.
I do.
Yes. Now, Diana, we met during my TV show, the TLC TV show. We brought her in to work with Oswaldo. Oh, it worked. It worked temporarily, but just like working with a personal trainer, you start eating fatty foods and get off the treadmill after you leave, and you go right back to Ozzy's verbal shape, which is, I would call him morbidly obese verbally. And actually physically, too, technically. But anyway, point is, you've worked with him during the last hour and a half or so.
He did good.
I came up with a phrase for him. Now, Ozzy, do not repeat it yet. The phrase was Philip Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Huffman star in the movie A for Adam. All words you have difficulty with. I wanted to make it tough on you, but if you win, and tell me if you already have it, but you're going to win yourself a Palm Z22 organizer.
Okay.
Do you have a handheld personal organizer?
No, I don't have.
No, you don't have one?
No.
Okay. So here's something to add to your arsenal of personal electronics. You still have the computer I gave you, though, right?
Yep.
Ozzy always plays the kid card when he wants something. That's a promise. I get something new, I unplug it, I slide it over, and I slide the new TV set or computer in or something, and Ozzy comes by, gives me the puppy dog eyes. You know, take it to the kids.
Take it to the kids.
And I look at him and I think, all right, take the computer, but I hope you choke on it. So you've been looking at internet porn on my computer and in your master bedroom, not letting the kids touch it, right?
I have a child.
Okay. You have a child. Four kids. How many kids do you have? Four?
Three.
Three?
And my wife, you know, the most problem.
Yeah.
Is four.
Four. All right. Ozzy has the phrase here. We're not going to have him repeat it just yet. How's he been doing with it, though, Diana?
He does great.
He does?
Yes. When we practice and he really hears it and repeats it, he can get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so
the
we're
only
gonna...
problem is he's got cheat sheets. I'm going to take those away.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes.
Yes. No.
Yes. Yes, because let
that
me...
That wasn't part of the deal.
Let me explain. There's no cheat sheet for life.
No sabotage.
But we've only had an hour.
You've had a good hour and a half, and there's only 9 words at 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there's like 7 or 8 words here for him to remember. Plus, I would argue that one of the words on there is Adam, my name. He's been saying it for 16 years.
That's the one he has the hardest time
with. I know.
With.
You know what it's like? We're working together.
Adam.
Kind of.
Gotta get the D.
Adam.
And then throw away the end.
Adam.
There it is.
There we go. Fifth try. He gets my name after 16 years of 5 tries. Like he's had a stroke or something.
But you have to remember that his tongue is like, are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm left-handed.
It's like somebody puts a calligraphy pen in your right hand and says to you, okay, now you're going to write calligraphy.
I could spell dog if I had to in a pinch. He can't say Adam.
Yeah.
I need you to be tongue-dextrous. Yeah. You understand? Yes. Really. It's like someone duct tape a jogging shoe to his tongue when he tries to say my name. Adam. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, Ozzy, this is for the Palm Z22 handheld electronic organizing system. God knows what you could get on eBay with this baby.
Okay,
we'll
baby.
Take a break, and we'll see if he can successfully say that phrase after this.
Corolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Diana Jelinek is here. She's beautiful. She's pregnant.
Oh.
But if you're into that thing, and Lord knows the Ace Man is. She's right up your alley. Her due date is today, so I want to thank you for coming in. We know her from the Adam Carolla Project, where she did a little voiceover work trying to help Ozzy with his voice and his diction. Oswaldo, friend of 16 years and still can't pronounce my name. I gave him a home computer and he can't pronounce
Adam.
My name. Sounds like a Western, country Western song.
Adam.
What is it? There you go. There you go. Nah, I'll just do the math. If that's where we're at after 16 years, by the year 2087, you'll be at the 3/4 point of my name.
Bonus time.
All right. What'd you say?
I don't know.
Bonus time.
Bonus time. Bonus time?
Bonus
time.
Bonus.
Oh, okay. All right. Here's my... Bonestein. I thought you just said Bonestein, which is a horrible porn name. Bone Stein. All right, so we have a phrase for you. These are all movies you've reviewed, people you've put in and butchered. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Huffman star in the new movie A for Adam. If you say that clearly after working an hour and a half with Diana, I'm going to give you an organizer, a Z22 Palm handheld organizer. Yes, you'll be the king of your block with that, baby.
It changes life.
All right, now, Nebraska, you've taken away the cheat notes there. You just have the actual phrase as it's written. Here we go.
Felix Seymour Hoffman.
Hold on, hold on. I think he said Felix. Let's try it one more time. Here we go.
Felix Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Hoffman star in the movie A for Adam.
Okay. The Adam is a little rough and the Hoseman.
If left this reviewer call.
All right. Now, one more time. One more time. And this time, get out of your head with it, man. Just have fun out there. You know what I mean? You're all up in your head, dude. Yeah, that's right. Get out of your head, man. Just have a good time. Just power through it. It's not Hoseman. It's Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Hoffman. Here we go. One more time. Let's go. Get out of your head, dude.
Felix Seymour Hoffman and Felicity Hoffman starring the movie A for Adam.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a movie title, D for Effort. All right. But it doesn't matter. Listen, I'm a good guy, and plus I know you don't know how to use it, so I'm going to give you this palm organizer anyway. If I find it,
thank you.
If I find it on eBay, they'll be hell to pay. Dan, I'm going to give it to you, too. That's right.
Ew.
New child on the way, coming in here.
He needs one.
What a woman. All right, Ozzy, just read the thank yous, the guest thank yous, and we'll move on.
The guest thank you, David Koecher. Waiting out in DVD now, Larry the Cable Guy, Hell in Petor, out the theater, March 24. Thank you for You Know Smoking, out in the theater, Nationwide, April 7. Mayor Barry Goberman from Calabasas, Tayan Hellingmeth, a speech therapist.
It would be ironic if his last name was really Mayor Government. I'm going to get government out of Big Bear.
Barry Goberman,
I mean.
Yes. From Calabasas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it?
Seems and like Diane Hellingmeth, a speech therapist.
Yeah. It's ironic when you butcher speech therapist. All right, Ozzy. And thank yourself.
Mahala.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, Mahal-o.
Mahala.